Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Great, 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 great episode today. Brent Morin returns for his record-setting fourth appearance on the About Last Night podcast. I think he's beat out Jaleel White and Harlan Williams as three-time podcast attendees. Brent always crushes. You guys love him, of course. Clooney Boops will not be forgotten as maybe one of the best hashtags in the Twitterverse. You think you like the Clooney Boop hashtag. We came up with another one on this episode that almost made me piss my pants laughing. You know Brent from At Midnight, Conan, and of course he's one of the stars of NBC's hit sitcom Undateable, which also stars our buddies Chris D'Elia, Ron Funches, and Rick Glassman. And Brent comes back with our buddy David Sullivan because us three spent about a week in New York City for the New York Comedy Festival, and the adventures that we experienced and created and the shit that went down and the fun we had is unlike any other trip we've been on. And that's kind of what this podcast is a rehashing for you who was not there of the New York City adventures. And it's hilarious. It's just recapping everything we got to do, from meeting Aaron Carter in the middle of Times Square to opening for Dane Cook at the Beacon Theater to fucking riding bikes through New York City, through Brent being on the Jumbotron at a Knicks game and then parting with Taylor Swift, being at a strip club and doing an air guitar band. It's just one of those trips that you're not going to forget. David actually made a scrapbook, so we won't ever forget it. Of course, you can follow Brent on Twitter at Brent Morin. Follow David on Twitter at David Sullivan. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad at Funny Brad. Some great shows coming up. I'm going to be with Brad at the Ontario Improv December 12th and 13th. That's a Friday and Saturday. Get your tickets at improv.com. And then, of course, come see me returning home to the Parlor Live in Bellevue, Washington, December 26th and 27th. 7:30 and 10:15 are the shows. Get tickets at parlorlive.com. And then, of course, I'll be in Vegas at the Laugh Factory for New Year's, December 29th through January 4th. Get your tickets at laughfactory.com or adamraytv.com. And Brad will also be in Kansas City for New Year's, December 31st at the Kansas City Improv. Get your tickets at improv.com. Of course, support the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes. Tell your friends. Rate and subscribe. Rate and comment on the podcast. That helps us climb the charts. We've got some amazing guests coming up. This episode today just kicks off a nice couple weeks of killer guests. We got the Melissa McCarthy episode, Dana Carvey coming up. You don't want to miss those. So, of course, subscribe so that you can automatically download the ABLN podcast and listen to the fun. And, of course, get your About Last Night podcast T-shirts at estoymerchandise.com, E-S-T-O-Y, merchandise.com. We got tank tops. We got shirts. Show your support for the pod. Wear them around town. Wear them to Christmas. Give them as stocking stuffers. They make great stocking stuffers. I'm not just saying that. They fit perfectly in your stockings. Not that I've seen your stockings, but I know that they would fit because their stockings are accessible. They're made to fit great T-shirts. All right. You know what? There's probably a better pitch for that. I think that's it. That's all the tour date info. That's all the t-shirt info. Those are the Twitter handles. And now, ladies and gentlemen, sit back and enjoy a very fun, special, hilarious recap podcast New York City edition with my buddies David Sullivan and Brent Morin.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
Anyway, then I brought Chappelle on. He did like an hour and 10. And then his DJ there, DJ Trauma, who was the DJ on the Oddball Fest tour, I hadn't seen him in a lot of the like tour guys from the tour were there, because I guess they were doing a tour of Chappelle as well. So I was like, oh shit, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, obviously we're with Chappelle. And I was like, oh yeah. And I was like, what are you guys going to do? Oh, we're going to go out afterwards. And then I went out afterward.
Wait, so how was bringing up Dave, though? Did he say something to you?
No. He shook my hand, didn't make eye contact. And then
isn't it so funny? You're like, thank God it's Dave. I just crushed.
Yeah, I felt
maybe this will be the moment where he goes,
season four Chappelle Show hosted by Brent Moore.
I thought maybe he'd at least be like, give it up for that guy. That guy's funny. Yeah. You know, but he was just like, what's up, everybody? And he shook my hand hard, which hurt. And then I was kind of like, and then he didn't make eye contact, and he just kind of just shook it and got on and did his thing. He didn't care. He's having a drink. He's smoking up there. So he's cool. Yeah. And so the whole time he's up there doing his kind of prolific, you know, topical, I was like, man, I should have done that one bit. Like, I started questioning my act. But I was still on the high of a good night.
Oh, yeah.
So then I went out and danced. Went to a dance club and with Chappelle and them till like 4 in the morning.
That's kind of been your norm, though.
Like, well,
going
recently.
Out and dancing.
Well, I've been having fun. This is what we'll talk about in the New York trip. Experiencing things.
Yeah, you've been living life to its fullest. You're wearing a Navy cadet hat right now.
Yeah, I never wore this.
Yeah,
I'm trying these things. Yeah.
It's a choice.
It looks good.
Jean shirt, I'm wearing a turquoise V-neck.
Yeah.
That voice, by the way, you're hearing is Brent Morin.
That's him.
Star of season 2 of Undateable, coming back.
Not season 3, though. Found that out today.
What?
Yeah, they said this is it.
Are you serious?
No.
Sorry, guys.
Imagine. I wouldn't be this calm.
Yeah.
The other voice you're hearing is Star of Life.
Yes.
David Sullivan, first time podcaster.
Yeah, first time. Never been on a podcast.
You've never been on a podcast?
No.
I love it.
A little nervous.
David Sullivan is an extraordinary actor, an extraordinary human being, an extraordinary father.
Thanks, man.
Dave, other than, Primer, that's where will people know you from?
That's what a lot of people do. Yeah, it won Sundance back in 2004.
That's a big fucking deal.
It is. It is. Yeah, we decided to make a movie for $7,000, and we were like, maybe we can show it on the side of a building in Dallas, and like our parents would be happy.
Yeah.
And then around Thanksgiving, 2.5 years later, because we edited it on a computer, we found out that it got into Sundance, and we're like, what? This movie? How? Is anybody? So, we get to Sundance, and nobody knows who we are because we didn't have anybody famous in it.
That's kind of the cool way to go in, though, too, because, like,
it's the best way.
That little movie that could.
Oh, absolutely. It sounds cool, but, like, you're there with all these other people who are going to all these amazing parties, and you're like, oh, cool, can I go? And they're like, yeah, who are you with? I'm like, we're with one of the films in competition. There's not that many here. And they're like, yeah, but who?
Isn't that so fucked up? You got to film into the
festival,
and they're still like, but who do you know?
Ridiculous.
You have to let in so many chicks.
Do you know Evan and Jared?
Yeah.
You're like the musical duo from 1998. Yeah, man, they did a soundtrack.
Yeah. Oh, it was dumb. And then the last night when we won the grand jury prize for best feature. We literally had a private van pick us up, took us to dinner, had people like buying us drinks, buying us steaks. Like, it was ridiculous. And then we went from party to party and like met all the famous people saying how amazing we were. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
God, that's so cool.
Oh, it was so cool. And I was like, okay, I'm a movie star, guys.
Of course.
Yeah. So that was that was 2000. How long ago?
Boy, but
you work.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Yeah, I do. You're one of the best.
And you help all of us.
You
help all of us be good actors.
Yeah,
I couldn't. I couldn't go into any audition room without David.
Oh man, that's nice. Yep. Yeah, you guys.
I go away and I just don't book. I gotta start working with David more.
Yeah.
We all got to. We've all you guys have kicked it more. Off stage, but this was my first time really getting a full on David Sullivan experience.
Oh yeah,
well, it's the combo. It's the combo.
It really, like, I don't know, man. So we go out to the New York for the New York Comedy Festival, and Brent's got his own night at UCB. And it's like, hey, come out and open for me,
right?
And you were already.
You're going
to kick it because why the fuck not?
Exactly.
I got a buddy having his own show in New York.
Totally.
Chris D'Elia is also out there doing Town Hall.
Yeah.
Also a good pal of ours.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm going to go get some new. I'm going to go just have a good time in New
York.
Absolutely. Little did you know it would turn in. Oh. Dave walks into my apartment with a scrapbook from the trip.
Do you understand what
kind of a trip you have to have to be an adult male in 2014 and make a scrapbook of the trip?
Yeah.
I think about this trip. I'm think about it all the time. Like, I'll be traveling and I'm like, man. And I keep texting. I go, we got to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
We're going to Europe.
Uh-huh.
Like, there has to be a European trip.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And it's
beautiful.
I mean, and there's, think about adding like Divine or Santino to the croup.
Oh yeah.
Man. To the croup.
Plutty boop.
The first Clooney boop.
Fuck yeah. A croup.
Yo, crew in the group is the croup, man.
A croup is a cool group. Hashtag that now. That's a new one.
That's right.
It's not mistakes. Uh-huh. It's called innovation. How do you think FUBU was started?
That's right.
They misspelled fun. Croup. Cool group.
Cool group. Hashtag croup. Hashtag Clooney boop.
Yeah.
Dave, do you know what a Clooney boop is?
I don't. I feel like I kind of
first time Brent was on the podcast when he filled it for Brad.
Sure.
And it was just Brent and I, and we started talking about. We had some sort of fuck ups, and then we talked about how ER should start doing reruns of ER, but not just episodes. It should be like all the bloopers that Clooney had.
Yeah, it should be all the Clooney bloopers. That'd be an NBC show you could sell.
Yeah, sure.
Because we're talking about how his bloopers wouldn't be like the typical funny bloopers. It'd be like he'd screw up a medical jargon and they'd be like, nah, fucking tits. Fucking
yeah. It's
cunt
like,
sucking tits, you know, or just.
Like, yeah, he would just kind of, you feel like he would be like, I'm sorry. Ah, fat tits. And people are like, did he just say fat tits under his breath? We'll go again, George.
Hey.
That's what she said. And everybody loses it. You're like, that's just a hot guy joke. You didn't earn that.
And that's a Clooney boop.
Clooney boop. People keep saying Clooney bloop, some of you guys.
That's not it,
you fucking idiots. This is why you're not in this is why you're not in croups.
That's right.
Okay. Okay, you guys. Because it's Clooney boop.
That's right.
Because that's funny.
It is.
Just like pit slips. We had pit slips.
That's a spin-off.
Brad Pitt's second season, all these bloopers. There's gotta be a shit ton of those. I found one. Did you see me post one?
No.
I found one of him laughing for 3 minutes at Moneyball.
Oh my god, it's unbelievable.
It was almost like he just realized who he was and his career and how great everything was. It's literally 3 minutes of him just laughing and crying.
Really?
Like, I'm sorry. Just give me a second. Funny. For no reason. It's not a funny movie. Where are you laughing?
Right. So there's too many highlights to even cover on this trip. But
I'm talking about it so much.
Yeah.
Let's just first of all, before I list like a bunch of things, like is there one that sticks out for you? Because there's also, let's be honest,
tough.
there's the part of the trip that I was on, and then just when you think it can't get cooler, I leave and you guys surpass the previous 4 days.
Well, the thing was, like, I think the fact that we set the bar so high on the first night,
I like that.
It was we're just gonna go sing karaoke at this karaoke spot in Koreatown, or in Thai Town, or wherever it was. Well, that my friend knows the manager, and we're like, all right, sure, let's all go there.
I had a hot friend. His name is Jordan Woolley.
Super hot.
Beautiful girlfriend, and
power couple.
People like that.
That's a croup.
He lives in New York.
Yeah,
he lives in New York. And everybody else at the agents after the UCB show, Adam and I, and it ended up selling out. We were very happy.
Yeah.
Standing room only.
That's great.
You missed out. We got shit going on.
Brent crushed it. His hours. Wait, let's preface, by the way, though. We leave the hotel. We walk to the Beacon to do a sound check.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's how it started.
Yeah.
Brent introduces me to go up to open for Dane.
Yeah.
Kick it. I go meet up with you guys later.
Yeah.
Then we go to Brent's show at UCB Theater.
Yeah.
Sold out. Standing room only. Crushes it. His hours going to blow.
100 seats.
Yeah, man. But crushed in an intimate room to where, like, if you don't do well, it's going to show.
Oh, yeah.
Brent's hour is going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
And it was so fun. So we're already in a good mood.
Yeah.
And all the industry folk that was around us, we know, and, you know,
I was on
just all karaoke. They were just drunk, and when they get drunk, they're like, let's karaoke.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm like, they're like, we're going to go to this spot. And I was like, that's great. I'm going to talk to my hot guy friend. I was like, yo, do you know, like, a karaoke spot? And he's like, yeah, I know a guy named Woo. We can go. This spot's best one in town.
Yeah, of course, you know a guy.
I'm like, where are you hanging out with Woo?
Right.
You know, just a hot guy.
Right.
So we go there and it gets hooked up, like really hooked up. We go to this private room. I had a lot of family there because I'm from New England. Mm-hmm. So my cousins who drink, and their friends who drink, the whole crew of people. Yeah. We get there. He's like, we got the room at midnight. So I'm like, great. My older brother was with me. Mm-hmm. He was already shit faced before I even started my 8 p.m.
he
show.
He just disappeared.
Wait, he didn't show up. Remember?
No, he disappeared. He followed
he
us
on
and then
the
he
pole.
Was falling asleep like he does. And then he just went to McDonald's, he said, and went home and missed the best night ever.
I didn't tell you this. We were walking over there, and I stopped to tie my shoe, and I look up, and you guys had kind of walked a few blocks, or not a few blocks, but a little ways ahead. And then, I'm looking around, and I see this street sign, and this guy just leaning on, and I think he's chilling out. And I'm like, oh, that's Jared. And I'm like, hey, bud, where'd they go? No response. And I'm like, hey, man. And I turn around and look at his face. His eyes are closed. And he's leaning. Yeah, he's leaning.
Sleeping, standing up. My older brother.
Yeah, I think he was just thinking about the directions.
No, he was just exhausted. Because I said, because we went to the wrong place first.
Yeah.
Don't know how you go. We just happen to walk into another karaoke bar.
Right.
That's the wrong place.
Yeah.
And ask and go up to the desk, go, is Woo here? And they're like, no. And I was like,
no way I would have found that place, by the way.
Yeah.
It was a hole in the wall. It looked like the place that, like, fucking Eddie Valiant went to in Roger Rabbit, where there's like a secret door entrance. entrance greeted by a gorilla.
Yeah.
Well, good reference, dude. You're pulling out good references.
This is my show, dude. You guys are home court advantage. All right, keep going. So
we end up getting there at midnight, and so they set it up, and they give us bottles and fruit for some reason and cheese. Who knows why?
Chips and guac.
And then Dave sets it off because the beautiful girl that's with the hot guy friend was like, "Oh, I hope nobody sings. What is it, Brightside or something like that?" So, and you're like, "We're opening with Brightside." And once that happened, it was like game on. And then we're texting Dane Cook.
Yeah.
Like he's like, "I'm
finish
doing my show."
Yeah.
We're like, "Hey, we're karaokeing. Love him." He's like, "I'm in."
Dude,
I'm like, "Is he really fucking gonna show?"
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, he comes in happy as shit.
Grabs a mic upon entrance. Sings Home Sweet Home.
Yeah.
I'm not lying. From midnight till 5 a.m. We were in that.
Do you understand?
Room.
He's not lying. No. 5 hours
five
of
hours.
Nonstop singing. Because
non-stop.
Guess what? Shout out to fucking Andrew. Who was on the
that's right.
He was on the Korean keyboard.
The Korean keyboard.
It's a different language.
Who was doing his job.
And he was killing it and making us money. And he was also making us stars from 12 to 5 a.m. Because every time a song ended, he'd punch in another code and go, it was like a fucking auctioneer.
It kept going.
He was like, "What else do we want?" And I'd be like, "Yo, man, Goo Goo Dolls Iris."
Yeah.
He's like, "Fucking 242. And as soon as Bohemian Rhapsody ends, "And I don't want the world," comes in and starts playing.
Yeah,
let me tell you about that song. Here's how you know we got progressively fucked up throughout the night.
Sure.
I sang that, I think, at like 4:40. We're about 20 minutes out, and I was just like, it was that like end of the night bar closing.
Yeah.
We'd all just done Bop, which I'll post
that video. Apparently, we don't know the words.
I'll post that video on my Instagram. It's terrible, but hilarious and incredible and inspiring.
Yeah.
And I'm singing Goo Goo Dolls Iris. And you know what? That song, like for Dave Brightside and fucking also Dave, dude. What was a Hootie song you rocked?
Oh yeah, I was feeling it. Right around 4 a.m.
Let Her Cry, dude.
Yeah, that's right.
Right around 4 a.m. Everybody turned it up a notch, dude.
Yeah, that's what.
And
happened. I see.
Well, it got more intimate because it started with like 30 people, and then it was like just the six of us.
Yeah, dude.
It was like three dudes and three hot chicks.
It really became a thing. It was one of those moments where I'm having so much fun that I don't want to talk to a girl, which is a weird thing to say.
Exactly.
But I was like, "What's next? Like, what's your name?"
What song?
Put Linkin Park on. I remember that was the one where I was like, "This is how I learned how to sing." Was Linkin Park.
That's right.
And then I started it and then sat down and gave the mic up. I said, "I can't do this one. This one's too much."
But dude, as you were watching me sing Goo Goo Dolls Iris, you know, it just lives in my register. And then it was one of those things too. My voice was going, and I was like, "You know what, man? I don't care."
Not
at this
only
point.
Was your voice going, you were on antibiotics because you just had a near death throat problem.
Yeah,
and you were like, they were like, "You know what? You're like, I'm not going to drink."
Right.
And literally, there's a picture. If your doctor saw it, he'd be like, "You're doing the worst possible."
Well, I didn't take. So I had that fucking terrible. I don't think I've even talked about it on this podcast, but how I like got that. You know, the second time I got this epiglottitis thing that makes your throat close up. I was hospitalized for 4 days, and then I had to be in all these antibiotics.
Four
My
days.
Throat was closing up, so I was going to suffocate, and which would have been a terrible. I would have suffocated in this apartment, with fucking Rite Aid candles and a fucking couch for my mom and a painting that she sent because she was like, "You need stuff to put up," and it's fucking why. It's purple flowers. Nobody likes that. And so I'm in the hospital thinking I'm going to die. And then all of a sudden I get out and I'm like, I got to go to New York. I'm going to do shows with Brent and the Beacon. Yeah. And then that night he was like, he didn't even want me to go. But then I was like, I got to go. And he's like, "Well, at least be on your antibiotics." And that night I was like, "You shouldn't drink on antibiotics."
No.
I stopped taking them. Like,
in fact, you said in college, you were like, "In college, I drank on antibiotics." And you're like, "You know what? I'm just going to do it right this time. Why the fuck do I need to take the antibiotics?"
I almost died.
You're like,
cut to me singing Goo Goo Dolls Iris at 4:40. And at the end of it, Brent's staring at me, no joke, like I just came up with a cure for cancer. He's looking at me like, "How did you do that?"
Yeah.
Like,
beautiful.
And at the end of it,
beautiful.
I put the mic down. He gives me a longingly loving friend hug. Like, I'm going off to war. Like, I'm never going to see you. And he just goes, "You're a god," in my ear. And dude, it was the best thing ever.
Oh, that's awesome. Shit.
I think I know bullshit did 35 shots because I felt obligated. I was Sinatra. Everybody who came in.
You really are when you drink.
Yeah. I mean, I had cash on me. I was giving it to fucking. We went to an open bar and I was tipping every drink $30. And they were like, "No, sir, that's too much." I go, "No, you take it. You know, give it to your kids." Like, it was like so Sinatra. I tipped the bathroom attendant $20. All because I asked him, I go, "How's your life going?" And he goes, "I got to be honest, man. It's day to day." And I went, "Oh, fuck. You know what? Here's a 20. Do you have any mints?" He's like, "I'm out of mints." I'm like, "Well, shit. I guess I'll just go empty handed. Get your shit together. At least give me a pack of cigarettes I could sell to the whore." But point is, I'm already giving away shit. So I got cousins coming in, and I'm just like, every time I give them a shot, I go, here we go, shot. But I'm doing it like it's water. Right. And I realize, like, because I did it so fast, I said, holy shit, I think I just did 11 shots, like, right away.
It sneaks up on you.
Oh, well, then, and then cut to, don't want the world. And I'm like, you're a god, man. I mean, this is the most,
like,
beautiful
speaking
night.
Of you're a god, somebody hit some vertical horizon.
That's right. It was.
Then we went out after that. Wait a minute. Yep. I got to, okay, we fucked something up. The first night we went out was the Beacon. I wasn't performing. We went to the Beacon, then we went to the Comedy Central party that was open bar.
Oh, yeah.
David Fell.
All right, yeah. Here we go.
That's how it opened.
Let's
that's where
it.
I was tipping Sinatra like
right.
a motherfucker.
Yes. Right.
And that goes till 4 a.m.
Right.
Then it's just us.
Well, let's talk about the Comedy Central party and Dave's fall. Because what happens next,
man.
You'll pick up with the rest of the story ends with an air band at a strip club and Aaron Carter in the middle of Times Square.
Yeah.
So that's the first night, actually. Karaoke's the second night.
Right.
We mementoed
that's
that
right.
shit. We had a Clooney booth.
We had a Clooney booth.
Okay, we missed the first
stay on top. You want to be in this group.
That's
so
right.
Here's why this group is so dope.
Uh-huh.
Because everyone's always on board. But Dave Sullivan, something I figured out about you, which is one of my favorite qualities in a human being, and very few people have it, dude.
Yeah.
You're a fucking go-getter.
Yeah.
You commit hard.
Yeah.
And you also are always thinking what's next.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah,
we got to.
That.
And you're never like, I don't know about that.
No.
You're always like, yo, if an idea comes up.
We're doing it.
We're doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And that
was the
and
best.
If there's any sort of like weary or people going like, I don't know, it usually doesn't happen.
No.
But
with
if you
us?
Have somebody that people trust, and as soon as Dave's like, no, that'll be great.
Yeah.
So we leave the we're at the Comedy Central party. Free drinks all night.
Yeah, that's great.
Everyone's schmoozing. A lot of fucking comics and
200
industry.
$200 in my pocket in an open free bar. All of it's fucking gone.
Brent's buying mints in the bathroom.
Uh-huh. Oh, there was an open micer who turned 21 from the Comedy Store. And, like, that's our home club here in Hollywood. So I'm just like, come here, we're doing shots. And the bartender's like, we don't do shots. I go, well, then how about this, sweetheart? What if we do 5 glasses of really cute whiskey? With no ice. And she goes, okay. And the guy next to me is like, dude, I've been trying to get shots for hours. That was brilliant. I go, yeah, you know what? Go make it 6. You're a good guy. Here's a 10. Here's more. Who wants all of this?
Yeah.
Dude, meanwhile, David and you are on the other side. And that's, I missed the fall, but tell me what happens there.
Well, I thought red wine would be a good idea.
That's right. We started with red wine because we thought this is like a nice night. It's the start to the trip. Let's be classy. There's industry here.
Yeah.
And then I went off the rails over there. I actually said before we went, I go, I just can't do shots because that's when it ends. Cut two. Let's get cute little shots, please.
6 of them.
Here's $40 more.
Right.
So Dave schmoozing. I mean, you're a great schmoozer.
Yeah.
You're going around every circle.
Great,
You can't. You were talking to me and my people at APA, and then they leave.
Yeah.
And then what happens?
Well, I met up with you and I was like, hey, tonight can be really fun. Like, are we gonna like go after it tonight? Are we gonna?
Oh, this is when I first got to New York.
Absolutely. Yeah.
This is the first night where we got in.
Yeah.
You just did the show. You're throwing. I could tell it was bothering you a little bit. You're like, I'm not going to drink tonight, but I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Let's see what happens.
Then you asked me for a red wine.
Right.
You know what? Get me one. And I was like, okay, I'm going to give it to you.
Uh-huh.
And I kept thinking, I hope to God that doesn't kill. Because I don't need to be the guy who killed Adam.
How did Adam die? Pinot Noir.
Right. we're talking, and there's like a little stage there, but it's 8 inches from the regular surface.
Yeah.
So you don't. You kind of see it if you're looking for it. So
it's a mini like coffee house stage.
Yeah. Exactly. It's exactly what it is. So all you comics like know that like the stage is there. Me, not the comic. I'm like, okay, there's just like an empty space. So I'm standing next to you, and I'm like, are we gonna do it tonight? Or
we're having a great time.
Had a great time.
David just made all my agents crack up laughing.
Absolutely.
Some witty banter.
Totally.
They leave. He turns to me like, this is going to be, dude, I think tonight's going to be a night we don't forget.
Yeah, absolutely.
For a long time. I go, I think so, Dave.
Yeah. And I'm like, tonight's the night. And you know how you like cheers in the air to nobody?
Yeah.
I like cheers nobody in the air. And I kind of jump a little bit.
And back step and a jump.
Yeah. And my right foot gets caught on the stage. And obviously it throws me backwards. And I land clear on my back. I have the red wine goes 6 feet in the air. The glass bursts.
Oh, yeah. Broke the glass. I thought the glass had just smashed.
Yeah,
I was waiting to get up and waiting to see a bloody
just
hand.
Bloody.
And I was like, there's no way we're getting out of this one if your hand is
bloody. Just you're the guy who fell.
Yeah.
Then you have to walk to the bathroom to the attendant. I tipped a 20, and that's where you would just focus. Like, then the camera would focus on me with all the old micros going. You know, a great thing about comedy is you got to figure who you are out there. Let's do some cute more shots. I think you've had enough, Brent. She knows my name. It means she likes me. And I like you. So what do you think? Like, we should hang out. And I'm like, oh, woo, fuck, I'm fucked up. And then I was like, where did David go? Where's Adam?
Where's David? David's... Oh, the most impressive display of footwork that you could do at a comedy party.
Sure.
Like, it was like, that was, I was telling Dave, I go, your athletic prowess was in full form because you did some weird backstep, jump stop, you did a weird pivot, and then you did some sort of like running man, you know, Edward Scissorhands robot fucking machine.
That's what you
did. And then you tripped over the stage.
Yeah.
But I was telling you, your recovery was what was so great because you hopped back up and grabbed the mic and then immediately go, that's all the time I got or something. And then literally, I was frozen because I'm like, it was so, I was so in awe of how impressive it was.
Yeah.
And then I'm also like, is his hand cut up by shards of wine glass?
Yeah.
Is now, should I get another wine for him?
Right.
Like, and then you just look at me and you go, all good. And you just started walking. And that was also impressive because it wasn't like you were going to stay and let me be sucked into your world and have everybody now put eyes on
us.
Hey,
is your friend okay? Like, what's wrong with
Davis
your friend?
I know what to do here. I walk away for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
I let the scene dry up.
Yeah.
And then I come back and join the party.
Yeah.
It was great.
So
it
we close
great.
That down. That's then we go to a strip club.
Oh, yeah.
Because at that hour, I'm thinking no bars open. And
right.
I just had about 18 cute shots with the local open micers. Got a couple You're the Man tweets. Made me feel 42 years old and happy. So I said, let's go to a strip club. This girl we know, who's a friend, goes, oh, yeah, let's go. And my buddy, who's like a business guy, recommended this one club. He's like, we got it. You have to go if you go to New York. And I told him, I go, I don't go to strip clubs. I don't like them that much.
Yeah, it was like Ginger Snaps or something.
Yeah, some
what was the
bullshit.
Name of it?
Nice. Like Frisky something Town. Like
Frisky
you know,
Town.
Street
Titty
Lamps or some shit.
Titty Business or something.
Titty Business would be the best. I would easily go to Titty Business. Welcome to Titty Business. Wow, you have a picture of it?
No, I think I have the receipt. On the receipt, it says JJ Restaurant, which obviously is not the actual
okay,
name.
Maybe that we went to a whorehouse then. So either way, we go to the strip club and they sit us up by the stage. And
it's like courtside seats at a Knicks game.
Yeah, for sure.
And what's funny about that is all the money that I was giving to the open bar and the bathroom attendant, the rest of the money I had, or I was given ones. They're not even my ones now, which would give me more reason to give them.
Yeah.
I'm not giving them for the strippers.
Right.
Something happened to me where I felt disrespected for their performance because some of those were just lazy.
They weren't committing.
Lazy, and it made me ugly. It made me feel ugly.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Like, no. And she's like, hey. And I was like, no, you don't get a dollar.
Not happening.
Because I'm upset. About this thing.
Yeah,
and then something happened where we just because I feel like even all the other guys in the place could sense the boredom of the night because the amount of the lack first off the lack of song choice they had in the beginning.
It was like Monday at a 9-to-5 job for these girls.
It was
they
just
were
like
not
I mean I get it, you're phoning it in, but we could be fun. So then we decided, I forgot what song came on,
dude. Everything from the 80s, man. It was
an 80s
rock concert.
That's what we did. And we got up.
Well, when you listen to 80s music, you gotta
it was a lot of foreign.
If they weren't gonna dance, we were gonna dance.
Absolutely.
So we took over and made a band.
Oh, totally.
I don't know who's playing drums.
I was.
I think I was on the bass.
Dave was killing the bass.
That's right. Maybe I was doing a
you
little bit of voice.
Yeah.
But we just, right by the stage, just going to town. Then the strippers are kind of like, okay, maybe this is not of it. Like the beginning of a musical happening. Like, hey, let's like Footloose. Like,
it was like
maybe
some
it
Mr. Holland's
illegal.
Opus shit. Like,
you
were inspiring to them.
We were having a great time. Everybody's having a fucking blast. It was fantastic.
The girls were clapping for us. Like, all of a sudden they were like, you know what? I guess I'm not the show right now.
This is the show.
That's a big thing to like, you know, succumb that type of like, you know what? I guess it's not about me tonight.
Right.
We were a band. We have a great time. Then we run out into Times Square at 5 in the morning, about 5:15 in the morning.
Riding the high of a free concert. We just did
a free concert. Great. You did the Beacon.
So
it was such a night. We were at the Comedy Central thing. Yeah. I just spent everything. I was like, this is great. And Times Square is empty. It's empty. We're there except walking around. Aaron fucking Carter.
Right.
5 a.m.
Right.
Let's talk about who spotted
him. How did we know it was Aaron Carter?
Yo,
it was from a distance. That's true.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Look in my direction because I've got an amazing ability to recognize faces. If I didn't see you guys after today for 20 years, I'd see you at a Quiznos and I'd be like, hey, Turkey Ranch and Swiss, please. It's been a rough week. I go, Brent Morin?
Yeah.
And
we're literally like, man, it's empty. We got to get bicycles.
Nobody. And this couple walks by and I go, and we just walk by and I don't even make a big deal. I go, oh shit, that was Aaron Carter. And then Dave goes, what? And turns around and doesn't even hesitate, sprints towards him.
We all start doing it like he's fucking, like we're teenage girls and that's Harry Styles. We're yelling, Aaron, oh my shit.
A fan. He tried to play it cool.
He was like,
he was totally
with a chick, he's trying to close the deal. We probably helped. Definitely
of course
helped. We're like, anyway, we get a picture with you, dude? Just one photo? He's like, I guess so. And in my head, I was kind of like, how many fucking photos you take?
Yeah,
take a photo.
It's also 4 in the morning, man.
Nobody Nobody's out, you idiot. Okay. Right. And I think I hooked up with your girlfriend. Right. Anyway, point is, I didn't, but that sounds cool. Maybe I did. Winked. Croup. Anyway. So, yeah, then we take a selfie, which David has. Maybe you should put that on the
website. It's on Instagram. It's on my Instagram. It's on Dave's.
That's great.
You got to put it
on AdamRay33 on Instagram.
He's the happiest he's been. I think he had the happiest night. We're the happiest we've ever been.
Yeah. Oh. It was great.
And that was the first night. That was the first night. Oh, we kept trying to get bicycles out. Yeah. We couldn't, which sucked. Which sucked for you, Adam.
I missed out on it.
Because we figured it out drunkenly, like the next night. When everybody separated, I think it had to be when you left because we were alone in the city.
It was.
Now, something in my mind went, why would the bikes be closed?
Right. They want us to lose the bikes.
Yeah, you want to lose the bikes.
They have our credit card.
24 hours. Yeah. So I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. You know what I was doing? This is so dumb, and obviously I was drunk. I was putting the credit card into, like, the wheel. That's basically what I was doing. And I went,
in the spokes.
David ran, like, three blocks. You know, these ones will work. Mm-hmm. And he comes back. He's like, those ones didn't work.
Well, you were one better than me. I was just staring at the machine hoping the bike would release itself and be like, this guy really wants
we
to ride
me. We have to know the code. Who has the code?
So I missed out on that. But then when you guys...
The next night was the karaoke night.
Yeah,
we left that. And that was actually after that. I got to be honest with you. Daddy bought a lot more shots for some people. And I took a little what I like to call collapse onto a pullout couch at a place. I rented a hotel that I didn't stay at I think.
Let me tell you a great line from that end of that karaoke night. Yeah. After we get back, we have some more wine. We're at Dave's place.
Yeah.
And Brent.
A couple girls.
We're hanging out.
I can't see them.
Everyone's having a good time. Yeah. Brent's hammered. And at one point, Brent, you're about to... This was your way of saying, I'm going to bed now, but I'm also going to... Like, I'm going to do it in a funny way and also let people know, like, I'm not going to just bail. I'm not going I'm not going to pull a Jared Morin and fall asleep standing up.
That's true.
I'm going to let you guys know that this is happening. So I walk over and he goes, hey, come here. And he kind of you grab the top of my shoulders and try to start making me like fall down in bed with you. And you go, let him watch. And then I just stay in my ground and don't move. You fall because you were trying to get us to fall together in bed. Oh, you fall, hit the bed, roll over, covers over, out for the night.
That's great. That's great.
How you end the night, my friend.
You're so sweet and intimate,
right?
I'm a hands-on guy. I'm an intimate man.
I'd love to be a girl and find you at that stage of the night.
I really do like to cuddle. I get into a cuddle thing.
So when I leave, so at this point, you're thinking, all right, New York, what else could you possibly give us? You've given us great shows.
Yeah.
You've given us
Aaron Carter.
Aaron Carter. New York, thank you.
Yeah.
You've given
karaoke with Dan Cook till 5 a.m.
We've had a Clooney Boop free weekend. It's just like everyone's having a good time. You crush your shows. Chris crushed the shows.
Yeah.
I do a pretty good job.
Dave
got a video of me praying to myself before the Beacon Theater.
Slapping yourself.
You got to leave like a rock star, though, backstage with like hundreds of people wanting to take pictures.
Yeah, that was cool.
Got to soak
up some of the Dan Cook fans. That was great. You guys pretended to be like my entourage. As we hopped into the SUV and then I leave, and then take me and the listeners through what happens, because I'll tell you from my end is what happens. I go home because I got these voiceover callbacks, I got this thing for the game show network I got to do.
You had a very important podcast
to get the Melissa McCarthy podcast, important stuff.
But which the voiceover though?
Yeah, they're booking the voiceover.
Congratulations, the new voice of Hyundai.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
So at the end of every commercial
the sweater he's wearing.
Yeah.
Making cash.
Exactly. Is that cash?
The colors get brighter the more money you get.
That's right. Congratulations, by the way. That's awesome.
You. So I'm sitting at home looking
at... You had to leave Sunday, right?
Yep. I left Sunday. And now I'm just watching the trip through Instagram. And the first picture I see is... Brent on Jumbotron at Madison Square Garden.
Okay. That's right. That's right.
Let me first say this. When we were at first, before we went to the Comedy Central thing and met you there, because David had to go, we had to go see his friend, his friend he was staying with.
Yep.
And he kept telling me how nice she is. Jesus, I'm blanking on her name.
Angela.
Yeah, Angela. Yeah. Nicest lady, person ever.
Nicest.
So we go over there.
So sweet.
He's like, let's go have a drink. Yeah. You can meet her. So we go over to the place. Mm-hmm. He's like, you got to see the place. It's a beautiful place. Yeah. Overlooks Madison Square Park.
Yeah.
So I go over there with him. Mm-hmm. She's there with a couple of her friends. All like put together.
Yeah.
Me and him just had a bottle
classy
of wine.
People. Yeah,
like while you're at the Beacon and like shared everything.
Right.
And then... So we go over there and we have a glass of wine. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's why we stuck with wine.
Yeah.
Because we're like, we're sticking
that's
with
right.
wine.
That's right. We're classy.
And they're classy, so mm-hmm. we're feeling like adults.
Right.
And they're just talking and just like, oh, this is great. And mm-hmm. like acting stuff and mm-hmm. like all this shit I'm actually interested in. And mm-hmm. I just felt like a New York actor.
Yeah.
And then they were like, when are you leaving? I go, well, I'm leaving Sunday. And about Thursday, I have to go to upstate New York and right. I have to go up to upstate New York and or Niagara Falls in upstate New York. And they were kind of like, why would you leave to go to L.A.? To come all the way back to New York. And I was like, I have a meeting? But I was like, it wasn't even a real meeting. And I was kind of like, they were like, you should just stay. But it's like, it's a lot of money in New York. And she was like, you could just stay. If you want, you could stay here
yeah.
with David. Just
yeah.
stay here.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. You could stay. And yeah. I'm like, you know, drunk me goes, you know what? I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And everybody's
yeah.
like, cheers. Yeah, yeah. he's going to stay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great usually
moment.
The next day when I do things like that, because I say this in my act, drunk plans never happen.
Right.
So you wake up and you go, no, I got things to do. I got right. a family. You know, I don't. But that's, you know, what you right. people say.
Start thinking,
yeah, but when
very
you're drunk,
alone.
When you're drunk, right. you're like, my family will understand.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brett doesn't have a family. He'll realize this tomorrow morning.
yeah. yeah.
But
yeah.
also one of the girls was had an acting school.
Yeah, she
was
had like, an acting school.
If you stay, then you could come talk to my acting school tomorrow.
That's true. You could come because David was going to go do it anyway.
Yeah.
And I was so fascinated by that because I've never like obviously never done that. And it's New York and it was an experience
totally.
Where I was like, I want to experience that.
Yeah.
And then also earlier that night, an agent who was at the Dane show when we were all doing the sound check thing, was like, how long are you in New York? I go, I leave Sunday. He goes, hey man, you should stay. We'll take you to a Knicks game show. I'll really do it. And I was like, so I had that too in the back mm-hmm. of my head. I said, hey shit, if I stay, I think we can go to a Knicks game too.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I'll stay. So the next morning I wake up and I was like, no, I'm fucking staying.
Yeah.
I was like, which I never do.
Right.
Which I'm so happy I did, and from now on I'm going to do.
Oh, really? You're always the one who goes, no, I got this.
Yeah, I got
right
shit to do.
Yeah,
I always think I have work.
I
got to go do work. Yeah.
So, family.
Yeah. I was like, I had things to do at home. Even when I don't, I feel like I was like, no, I have to be there. I have to work. I have to do this. And I was like, no. She offered a place so much.
Yeah.
I was like, she won't mind. She's so excited
so
that
sweet.
We came.
Yeah.
Sweetest person
totally.
Ever. So I'm like, okay, I'm in. Mm-hmm. Check out of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, ooh, a little nervous. Like the adventure begins.
Yeah, you just let it ride. You basically just won at the blackjack table the previous 4 days, and now you're like, fuck, dude, I just doubled down on fucking two nights.
That, and I'll be honest with you, because now the festival's over. And the thing with that is like when the festival ends and you're like the last person to leave, you feel like, shit, maybe we stayed too long.
Because
you're like, you feel like everybody's
gone.
It's
like when camp ended and you stuck around because one of the counselors was like, I still got a 12-pack.
Yeah,
and you're
like,
cool, man, you want to go down and buy the canoes? He's like, I burned the canoes last night. I was fucked up. But we can sit in my I've got a trailer.
Right. Yeah, and everybody's gone. You're like,
everybody?
Shit, let's just fucking leave. So basically, we're in this mindset now of like, oh, you want to do stand-up. So I got a show that Sunday night, I believe. Oh, I forgot about that on Saturday. I went and did that Jeff Ross thing after...
Oh, the roast battle.
Yeah, after I opened for Chris at Town Hall, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Jeff Ross asked me to be a celebrity judge on the roast battle with him and Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
And that was...
That was
just
crazy.
Side note. That was so much fucking fun. I was so happy I did.
Yeah, that was
love that
cool.
man.
Yeah.
Gilbert murdered it for like 20 minutes doing stand up because they were waiting for somebody to get there. So I'm already on a high from that. We go out.
You murdered on Chris's show too.
Yes.
Chris murdered at Town Hall.
It was fucking. It was awesome. Everybody was having.
Dave was even
time.
Just saying how dope it was to like see 1,000 people at Town Hall, but all there for Chris.
It's like, I mean, that's gotta be great. And they all obviously know who you are.
Yeah.
So when you get out and they see you, and you're actually the guy.
You've known Chris like 11, 10 years. I've known him 9, 10 years.
Yeah.
Like David always came to all our shows. We played bowling alleys and shitholes and stuff.
Oh, for real?
Where Brent
so
was
fun.
Really, and I'm doing
so
quotes
fun.
Here, figuring it out.
Yeah.
Clooney boops.
Yeah.
Just fucking. Swearing too much, political shit, even
dude.
Though I know nothing.
So you've seen from...
He's seen shitty Brent, decent Brent, good Brent, drunk Brent.
Both of them still, though, had something early on,
Oh,
right?
absolutely. I was a big fan of stand-up when I first moved out here, and it was weird because I
he came to every show. He loved all of them. He was
it was great.
He was just like... Yeah. And the diners afterward.
Oh, so great.
Because it's like how many of your being out here, it's like a lot of people are doing stand-up, but like guys that are like doing it a lot and you're like, and your buddies with them and you think they're funny helps.
Well, that was the thing. I didn't know if they were funny or not.
Oh,
and just randomly, one of our mutual friends was like, oh, I got to go see my buddy. He's doing like this. He's doing 5 minutes at this place. And I went and it was Chris. And I was like, dude, you're really funny. He's like, yeah, I'm trying to figure this thing out. And then I figured out we were neighbors. And so I was like, dude, I don't do anything at night. I haven't been in this town very long. Why don't you just come pick me up and I'll go watch you do stand up. Like, I love that.
Yeah,
and so like he would, I mean,
and he was
way
cool
about
it. He was always, we all started at the Ha.
Yeah. The Taha and like hostels. And
I was
like
in college.
Alleys.
I was 18, 19.
I mean, some really disgusting places. But yeah. like, you know, he would go up 2, 3, 4 times a night. Like he would drive up to Santa Barbara just to do like 10 minutes.
That's how dope Chris is too, by the way. Just being so welcoming, being like, yeah, come roll with me.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, plus, he's kind of hard to be around anyway. So he accepted me. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
But if you're in his circle, it's great. Outside of it, he hates it. Hates everything.
Yeah, but then I meet Brent a couple years later.
If you're in the circle.
And Brent obviously sees how hard Chris works at it, and he just, you know, he's
that's what I
was just
do.
Doing the same shit. I was just like, oh, that's what I have to
like,
do.
Oh, that's
while
how it works.
I was in college, and I had to go do stupid real jobs.
Yeah.
But either way. Yeah. Either way, so that had to be awesome for him, because I remember he kept saying, this is great, which is good, because you forget, and it's nice to have somebody be there.
Totally.
Grounded.
Oh, the dude, and
like,
also having you guys there
so
who
cool.
saw him start. Like, that's a pretty surreal moment.
Yeah, so it was crazy.
And for me, not a stand-up comic, like, just an actor, like, I enjoy watching the freedom that you guys have on stage, and just how you just honor every instinct and every impulse you have. And it just reminds me how much better it is when you're when you're present. Like you were saying earlier, like, if you're in that circumstance, you stay in that moment.
Yeah.
And so that's, I have to give you guys a lot of credit for that.
You feel like you've, as an actor, like, I mean, obviously, like, you're, you know, you're always so locked in when you do shit, but like, do you feel like just watching all that, like you said about picking up on, like, the same way you learn, like, when I was in acting class with you and you're teaching class and you're watching every, like, you're learning from watching everybody.
Absolutely.
So probably you're able to pull something from watching stand up as far as like.
Absolutely. I'm literally taking in different pieces of art for hours a day, every day.
Yeah.
So I'm able to pick and choose what I love and all these beautiful pieces of art.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think I'm able to use that in my acting as well. Yeah, it's great. Lucky. I'm so lucky.
Yeah. It's the same shit with sitcom. My stand-up improved amazingly after doing a multicam sitcom.
Sure.
How so?
Like certain things I wasn't slowing down with, or certain, because it's a live audience as well, mm-hmm. and just the way I would do certain expressions, mm-hmm. or instead of being like, what are you, like yelling something, I'd be like, what do you mean? You know, like little
took
things.
Took your time a little bit more.
Yeah, and shit started like kind of, and I was like, oh man, that shit's helping this shit. Everything is helping everything.
Rhythm.
And you start picking shit up from other actors and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm on the McCarthys tonight.
Yeah.
Lori Metcalf, like, I learned a shit ton from her because I was just watching her, like, just change the script without changing any lines, just making something so fucking funny that I was like, I didn't even see that.
Wow.
And I was like, how did you do that? And she was like, oh, you're doing great. And I was like, no, you can tell me. Like,
that's cool.
I'm easily not offended, just tell me how bad I am. And she's like, you're the worst actor. What if she did? What if
she
like,
said
you're
that?
Absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
And once she said that, I realized I can't take it.
Exactly.
And I fucked that thing up. So watch the McCarthys.
Yeah, shout out to our boy, Joey McIntyre.
McIntyre, that's right. Love him too. He's funny. Mm-hmm. Either way, so
Sunday
that's
night.
Sunday. Yeah, so basically what happens is, after that, it's the next day. Now we're alone. Mm-hmm. We're like, what are we going to do? Mm-hmm. I happen to get a show that night. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I have a show. We go and meet Chris, right? But Chris is leaving. Mm-hmm. So we went and we like ate and hung out with his family for a minute. So he leaves. And then, was that the day we met up with? No, that was Monday. Yeah. Okay, so that's right. So Sunday, mm-hmm. I text this girl.
Right.
All right. There's a girl that will remain nameless. Okay.
Great.
Very beautiful, very nice girl. I've known her for a couple years, but, you know, only like she would come to shows and stuff, but nothing ever intimate, never talked about it, nothing. But she lives in New York City.
Right.
So I text her, like, hey, I'm staying this week. So what are you up to tonight? Anything? She's like, oh, I'm at my friend's bar if you want to come by.
Yeah.
So me and David are sitting in Chris D'Elia's hotel room, mm-hmm. AKA the boring zone.
Yeah, of course.
So I decide Chris is going to be on his phone texting whoever forever.
Sure.
I said, David, do you want to go to this bar?
Yeah.
That day, I forgot about this too, we rented bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was Saturday night because you left. That's when we figured out the bicycles.
Yeah.
And you have the bicycles for 24 hours.
Yeah.
So we decided we have the bicycles.
We got to get use out of them.
Yeah, so Chris is like, meet us for lunch. So we're riding through the whole fucking city on these bicycles. That night, we're riding around Times Square on bicycles. David fell. There's video of that, too.
Please just break that. Give me the... I want to know because we were all so excited to get on those bikes because it was a ghost town.
Yeah.
And the idea of biking through
New
York City...
That's the greatest picture. Yeah. Look at that picture.
I know, dude. That sums it up. Dave, you're going to have to post it on
Instagram. We legitimately Apparently, we're trying to do those no hand like indie movie like everything's.
Oh, it was
okay
500 Days of Summer.
Yeah. Arcade fire playing behind you. Like it had those moments.
When you get on, when you do get on that bike, and there's nobody, and there's nobody in that city out there, and you know that you can bike for days.
Ever. So romantic.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
It's so beautiful.
It is.
You're just riding around.
Yeah.
You're like, this is such a great
the
idea.
The weather's perfect.
The weather was perfect.
Cold yet.
Yeah. So we're like, this is great. Yeah. And you just, and there's bike little things everywhere. Yeah. I highly recommend it. Also, more cost efficient.
Yeah.
You know, because it's $10 for 24 hours.
Did you scream some like Jack Titanic, I'm king of the world type shit?
We were doing a bunch of shit like that. We had our little moments, and that's why we almost fell a couple times.
Yeah.
Shit. You know, it was funny actually too. I said that David acted like he's been a courier in fucking New York City for 20 years. Because when there was traffic, I'm having mini panic attacks. Because I'm like, I'll never forget this too. David slowly hit a bus, and that was the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life. No, because you're just going in between cars. He goes, and he'll do the GPS, but he won't do the like listen to the GPS. He'll look at the map and go, no, it's bad. We'll go this way. So I was just listening. I kind of realized I wasn't an adult because I was like, David just knows how to go places and be an adult and like be like, all right, go let's go in this lane. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of like scared shitless.
So you were navigating while you were biking.
Yeah. So he'd bike and stuff, but he was acting like he's been doing it for 10 years, and he'd be like, let's go, come on. And then he kind of push a car out of the way as he's riding. But then I was like, where do we go now? Because I had to stop because I fucked something up. And he goes, all right, we got to go this way. And there's a bus that's already already turning.
Yeah.
I'll never forget this, too. Mm-hmm. This is the comfort level he had on a bike that I was terrified about.
Uh-huh.
And he had just said to me before that, he goes, Brent, you don't understand how limber you are. Trust me, you can get in and out. And I'm like, you're right. He goes, don't worry, you're going to be fine. Yeah. You know, and this is
dude,
like busy
inspiring
Times Square.
4 in the morning bike pep talk.
Oh, this is like before 4 in the morning. Yeah. This is when we're biking to the bar after Chris's.
Right.
And we're meeting the girl now at the bar. But we decided we're bicycling everywhere. So we bicycled like this, I don't even know where, East Village, wherever, far.
Mm-hmm.
So we're riding, and he goes, oh, we got to turn right. Let's go. So he's going. There's a bus, and he kind of just not full speed at all. He's going slow, you know, because he's got to figure out the bus shit. But he's also like, come on, bus, move.
They sometimes swing wide in order to cut back right. And I'm like, all right, I got to figure this out.
Yeah. I watched David do one of these slow things. You know, like when you're like trying to balance your bike, but you're going too slow. So you kind of do the tippy toe thing a little bit. So he kind of did the tippy toe thing and then just slowly kind of hit the bus, like hit a fucking like a Broadway play banner like boom, down,
I leaned on it
He's like hop, all right up. And I was thinking, is he caught on the bus because the bus is still turning? But he's just like, oh, okay, all right this way, a little close to the bus. And I was like, not even scared that he just completely slowly hit a bus. People watching like, did that guy just fucking slowly hit a bus? And so we go and meet this girl, and I was like, David, let me know what you think, because I think she's so beautiful. And man, she was worth it, she was fantastic. And she had her friend that was working there, and she was gonna leave, but David was
you showed me her picture, and I was like, well, there's no way she's that good looking. Like,
she was very beautiful.
Now, did the bike have pegs? if you need to take her back to her place,
she would have to ride in my lap.
Handlebars. Handlebars are in the lap.
Trust me, I had all the memories. But what happened was, then we go to a show, because I was going to do a show at like a local club.
Right.
So the other girl decides to stay, so now it's the four of us. We convince her, like, live your life, come on out to a show.
Right,
she's like, fine, I'm exhausted, but I'll do it. So she's a beautiful, nice person, too. She was amazing. Teacher, like, normal people. Everybody's wearing the
fun. We both have to work in the morning.
So then we go to the show. The show goes great. I'm starting to like this girl a little bit, you know, and I'm starting to flirt a little bit. And then we go to a bar to get a drink, and David can, like, just is like, I want Brent and this girl to be alone. So he kind of is like, here, I'll walk you out. And he walks the other girl out, like, whatever. And I'm sitting there talking to the girl, and then we just kiss. And then I was like, well, I want to walk you home. So I walked her home, like, 10 blocks.
I think it was further than that.
Yeah, it was a while. But then we made out, you know, and then she just respectfully went to bed, and I was like, I want to see you this week. And understand, the romance of the week already that's beginning is amazing, because we also talked to an acting class that went fantastic.
Absolutely.
No, that wasn't the acting class night, because I did Sunday. So Sunday was the first time we hung out. Fuck Brent. So we do that, and then I go back to David. I get a bicycle, and he goes, let's go ride bikes. Let's get something to eat. So now it's 3:30 in the morning. I meet back up with him.
Right.
So now I'm on a bicycle. We're doing the hand shit.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I think I just fell in love. Like, we're having this moment. And he goes, it's great, man. She's great. And I was like, I don't know how I'm feeling. He goes, don't fight that feeling. Don't fight it.
Yes.
You know?
So live in that. Love that.
Enjoy it.
Yeah.
So we go eat. We have a great time.
Yeah.
Next day, we wake up. Brooks Wheelan, a buddy of ours, cast member on SNL.
Yep.
He's texting me. He's like, what are you doing? I go, we're going to go to Italy or whatever. So we go to Italy. There's a rooftop bar. This is
was that a Clooney Boop, or is it actually pronounced?
No, it's called
pronounced Eataly.
Eataly.
Okay. Yeah. Fantastic. He's got pictures. He's got pictures of everything. So we go to Eataly, and Brooks is like, "Oh, I love the rooftop bar." We didn't even know it was a rooftop bar. Brooks likes to drink. Me and him have some of the same issues. Point is, he's like, "Let's go there and get a drink." So it's the middle of the day. This is the day we're teaching the acting class. You know, where I'm like, "This is cool."
How old was his acting class, by the way? Just hit on.
Oh, it's everybody. People from like 35 to 18. You know, people want theater, who want TV.
Were they receptive? What'd you talk?
Do you know Mel Mack?
Yes, it's her class.
She has an acting studio now.
Oh shit!
Yeah, and she was like, "It would be awesome if you guys come talk."
And I was so insecure about it because I'm like, "Oh, they're gonna see right through me."
It was great.
What kind of things did they ask?
It was great.
Inside the actor studio.
The thing was, she was like, "It'd be cool if you guys stopped by for like 20-30 minutes before class." We were there for 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours.
And every time we thought it was winding down, they were just like, "We just like hearing you guys talk. This is great." Like,
any more questions?
More questions.
Actually, do I have another? And we were like, "Oh, man, we feel like we're talking too long." They go, "No, stay." And
what kind
of
questions were they asking?
Everything. Yeah. They just had questions. What about an audition? What about this?
Yeah.
Because David said to me, it's because I was like, "Man, it's really insecure." He goes, "No, they're going to like talk. You're working." Yes. And I was like, "David, you know how to talk to these, to an acting class." Yeah. I'm immediately like, they're going to be like, "Can you really act?" And I'll be like, and then give me a cold reading scene and I'll fuck it. I'll add swears and shit and I'll get right into my act and they'll be like, "That's your act. I saw it on Conan."
Right.
I'm like, "Fuck you. What about this guy over here?"
Right.
Anyway, any birthdays?
Right.
But that's like where I thought my mind was going to rush to.
Yeah.
But either way, we get drinks with Brooks. I happen to be friends, the guy who directed the first 3 episodes of Undateable. Keep in mind, I've been trying to get tickets to go see Elephant Man. We wanted to see the Bradley Cooper play.
Yeah.
Couldn't get any through any connection I had. We'd have to pay.
Yeah.
It would have been a lot.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's probably not going to happen. I'm texting this director named Scott Ellis. He's like 6-time Tony nominated director. He directed the first 3 episodes of Undateable. Best guy ever. Helped me so much.
Yeah.
I'm texting him like, "Hey, I'm here. Do you recommend any plays?" And da da da. He calls me while we're having drinks with Brooks. And I was like, "Oh, it's Scott." And he calls me and goes, "How dare you ask plays and not ask about the 2 plays that I'm doing on Broadway?" Yeah. And I was like, "Scott." So we have banter.
Yeah, good.
So he's funny as hell. So we're going back and forth. And I go, "Well, what are you doing?" He goes, "Are you kidding? I'm directing and producing Elephant Man and this other one." I was like,
Holy shit, you mean
the play I'm trying to see? And I was like, "We've been wanting to see that, me and my buddy."
Yeah.
And he's like, I got you. Pick the night. Let me know the night. I go, "We're going to figure it out right now, Scott." I was like, "Awesome." So right before we go to the acting class, I'm like, "We just got tickets to fucking Elephant
Man."
Now
at this point, are you like, "Hey, New York, like, or how much, like, are you thinking, okay, cool, we're going to get hit by a bus on the bikes tonight?"
How
many more amazing things do we get before something, our luck runs out?
Sure.
It was the most. So then we go to the acting class. That's amazing. That's a 2.5 hour experience.
Mm-hmm.
We leave the fucking acting class. Mm-hmm. We grab some bicycles. And we decide we're going to go to an underground swing dancing club that he had found through Bill Dawes,
who's
a comedian who also lives in New York and does Broadway. And he's like, "Oh, go there as a password." Uh-huh. It's kind of in a shady part of town.
Yeah.
We're kind of like, "Oh, fuck." Doing? And he said what was the password again?
Titty business.
I wish. Would it be great?
Something, "Thank you for your service" or
something?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But the way he said it, he was like, "Hey," he's like, "password." And he's like, "Thank you for your service." That's how you said it like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Go ahead."
Yeah.
So then we walk through a shady ass alley that you'll see in like The Departed or some shit, like a Scorsese movie. But then you hear this music like coming through the walls as if you're about to walk into Moulin Rouge. And then you get in there and it's like a fucking 1920s speakeasy with beers and a thing. Yeah. Oh, people dressed like they're in the 20s. People swinging. There's a live jazz band. I'm like, I'm getting a goddamn drink. I'm texting the girl I love. "Meet me at this underground place. The password is this." She's like, "Where the fuck are you? That's a weird part of town." I said, "Yes, but the music's happening." And what I love about Dave, and this is what's great to travel with him, he's a yes-ander.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Yes, we got to do something."
Yeah.
And also, he wants to learn shit.
Absolutely.
He's a people person.
Hey, you're thirsty for knowledge and
so
experience.
I get a drink, and he's like, "Oh, man, I want to learn how to swing."
Yeah.
So I go to get a drink. I turn around. He's swing dancing with this like Colombian woman who's teaching him how to swing,
which
I could just sit in a corner because I'm thinking like, "Oh, shit, I don't know anybody here." And so he's just asking, "How do you do that?
Yeah.
How do you do that?" So he's picking it up.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's fucking swinging. I'm starting to get excited.
Mm-hmm.
This is nice. My girl shows up. What I'm in love with. I go, "Beautiful, getting you a drink." She's like, "Great." She's like, "This is actually really awesome." I said, "Invite your friend from last night." She goes, "Okay, I'll tell her."
Mm-hmm.
She comes out again, friend that David had known.
Yeah.
So David's now dancing with her, but he's really good now
because
from fucking 30 minutes of lessons.
What?
I don't know how he pulled that shit off. Bill Dawes shows up. He's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know where he trained.
Yeah.
So he's got somebody. He's just dancing with everybody.
Yeah.
So now we're all getting into it. I get my girl up. Now we're swing dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're going to ask, I wonder what Brent and David are doing right now in New York, and then just cut to like just going to town with brown paper bags, everybody's friends. The band is just going to town on jazz, and they're having people come up and sing. So David is like, because I sing, and Bill were like, you got to sing. And I'm in the yes and mood more than I ever was because of David. Honestly, I told David this. I was so happy.
The moral of this podcast is going to be called Hang Out with David Sullivan.
And make best guy to travel.
Hashtag make your life better.
Because fuck it. Because the idea is like, who cares, man? Have an experience. So they were like, you going to sing? Instinct usually is going to be like, no. But I was like,
there's
fuck,
always a reason not to. And Dave, you know what Dave does with those reasons? He goes, hey, fuck you with those reasons. Fuck those reasons.
So now he's like, you're going to sing. And I go, I'm fine with that. If they let me, I'm doing it. I don't know any jazz songs. So they go, Bill Dawes goes up to the person. I got the girl I'm in love with. We got found a couch somehow. I mean, we got the prime spot right at the dance floor where the band is. Bill and David go up to him. Somebody tells him I used to sing with the Roots. Is there any way he's like a really well-known singer? All this shit. So then they're like, really? Do you want to sing? What do you want to sing?
And I
was like, yeah, you know, whatever, you know, because I don't know any fucking jazz song. So it's like, because it's jazz swing type, you know? So I was like, you know, whatever you thinking. Like, and they're like, do you know any songs? Because they're starting to catch on right away.
What's that famous swing, the Brian Boitano band or something? The swing band? Oh, Brian Setzer Orchestra.
I know what you're talking about. Brian Boitano. The figure skater.
I thought he had a swing band.
He actually does. I forgot. Sea Blue Jazz. Or it was something, the Sea Blue Jazz. Or Sea Jazz. Because they said, what do you want? Something to standard like Sea Blue Jazz? And I was like, you know what? That's where I usually love to jam out and I like to improvise sing. That's what I like to do.
I was
going to
say, if anything, you could, I know that you trust your skills. Improvise. You're like, I'm going
to. I said, I like to jam and we're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
I jam with the Conan band a lot. So I figured this can't, you know, and I got a couple of the, you know, brown paper bag drinks in me. Brent Morin's back on the sauce. So I said, okay, we're going to do it. We're going to sing. So Bill Dawes is to me. He says to me, he goes, yeah, go in the bathroom, YouTube that shit. Make sure you know what that song is. So I did that for like 10 seconds, came back out. Now I'm singing with the fucking band.
I have the video. Yeah. I don't know if we'll be able to hear it, but
just hold up to the mic.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Crushing. Yeah, everybody was amazing.
Yeah.
And then me. Like I've been doing it.
Sinatra.
Here we go. All right.
By the way, this is where I go, here we go. And I look to the band. They look at me pissed. They go, what tempo? And I go, just fucking whatever you guys like.
2-4-44. Pick it up on the down chain.
Still hasn't started. They're having
some conversation. Hasn't started because they literally like, what tempo? They were so pissed that I was up there because they were like, you're just a fucking punk, aren't you?
Because
they were like, you're a shithead.
Right.
And I was like, just, you know, you got the tempo. You, you
guys. Dealer's choice, fellas.
Yeah, you guys figure this shit out. So they just start. In my head, I'm like, just start. And then I'm thinking, what the fuck could I make up? So I'm trying to think how jazz singers sing.
That's a great riff, by the way.
Yeah.
Sounds like the Frasier theme song, but all right.
Still filling it out.
Yeah, didn't know where to come in.
Well, you want to see the whole video? You gotta. Yeah, we'll post that.
So I'm doing this shit. Yeah. I just start going, and after I actually sung that first note, I looked at the piano player, and he kind of goes, "Okay, all right, he's not a fucking asshole."
Almost like getting a laugh at a new club.
Yeah,
like,
all right. Then I got comfortable, and then I started making them break down solos and shit. And then I kind of, I didn't know when to come in again, but I eventually came back in.
That's unbelievable. No, wait, let me. No, when you start swing dancing with that chick, and you did you have any trepidations? Or you just walk right up and go, "Hey," and you grabbed her, and you were like, I need to learn how to do this."
Yeah. Well, she was moving her hips around. Like I could tell that she was there for the music. Like she was there to dance and have a good time. And I'm like, oh,
she was flying
solo.
She
looks like she knows what she's doing. I'm like, hey, I don't know what I'm doing, but I want to learn. Will you teach me a few of these steps? And she's like, oh yes, absolutely. And, and it was just like from there, like she grabs my hands and we're just off to the races.
Yeah.
And she's like, basically it's this and this and this and this. And I'm like, oh, that's okay. Yeah, I can do it. Well, let's do it again. And we just, you know, as long as you're moving to the beat and you're kind of doing something close to what you're supposed to be doing, it looks fine.
Yeah.
As long as you think that, oh, I know what the fuck it is I'm doing.
Is it almost like musical theater, like ensemble dancing? Like when I did musicals in college and I was ensemble and I wasn't the greatest dancer, but my director was like, smile and look like you're having a great time.
No, totally.
Like, because you ain't the best up there. And I was like, oh, that's a little honest.
Show's about to start, but thanks for that fucking boost
to
confidence.
Absolutely. If you're holding her tight and you're moving to the beat, you you guys are having a great time. Yeah. She smelled great. Yeah. I mean, everything
what
about it was amazing.
Like?
It was weird. There was like a nice like cinnamon flower,
yeah.
like rain smell.
That's and that incredible. Was what oh, the it was, fucking city still, smelled.
Oh
like
yeah,
to
totally.
Me. I was
totally
a potpourri,
cinnamon flower,
fucking
rain.
Bliss.
Yeah, it
and
was
I'm
great.
With this girl, and after I sang, she's like, "You have a really good voice," and I'm like, yeah. "I go that I dedicated that to you." She goes, well, "I couldn't really understand what the lyrics had to do with me," and I was like, "Fuck, you're quick."
You kept talking about yeah. loving
you
your friends.
Yeah, yeah, I love your friends, and you'll see stars. Like I was doing the dumbest shit.
Right,
but then after that, we go bar. Hopping and we're yeah. just kind of it starts to trickle off like then the Bill's with his girl so he's like I gotta go
yeah.
and then it's the same thing where I'm like I'm with my girl and I was like man I really want to hang out with her tonight yeah. so now it's like 5 a.m. so right. we're walking and Dave does this great thing where he goes with his girl mm-hmm. just beautifully just yeah. separates yeah, yeah. without a goodbye just because yeah. we stop to kiss
because you know how you girls do it when you're paired up it's yeah. just like hey wait where are you going are you yeah, guys yeah. going here I think we're gonna go and I'm just like we're not gonna have
which
that
you gotta do which I yeah, get yeah, like, yeah. you gotta yeah. like, absolutely you can't just,
so they're already walking right. and just I don't know how you pulled that off because right. then I'm alone now
it's
well,
a professional
like,
move right there so that's I a said, guy yeah. that's a guy who falls right. down gets up grabs the mic and goes good night everybody
yeah
he also knows how to make a clean exit
that's right
so then I'm with her and I was like obviously I'm gonna walk you home again so then I walk her home and then she's like would you hate me if I told you I don't want you to come up or not that I don't want you but I don't think you should because you know this is kind of new and da 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 and then I don't know I
my
gave,
boyfriend
I
Aaron
gave,
Carter's upstairs
yeah yeah yeah. imagine that would have been great perfect circle I was like fuck no I was like, listen, I don't know exactly what I said, but it was a speech that worked. And then she's like, fine. All right. You're right. Come on up. And then I came up and then we go to the bedroom and we didn't make love. You know what we did? We made out. We did some camp shit.
Yeah.
And it was kind of nice. And she's like, I'm not going to have sex with you. And I was like, and the way the city lights were just coming into the window and the way she looked, I was like, this is love. I'm in New York. I'm in love. I just swing danced. I'm singing with bands.
Yeah.
I go going bar hopping.
Uh-huh.
I go, we're going to a play tomorrow.
Yeah.
We got the whole fucking day. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I stay there. Wake up the next morning. I get a coffee. I walk back, I think about 20 blocks to where we were staying.
Yeah.
So I said, okay. I get up with David. We go back to Italy. Yeah. So it's a beautiful moment. I forgot about this. We wake up the next morning and she's got to get ready for work because she has a real job.
Right.
Another plus.
Girl with the real job.
Yeah. Better than most of my dating life. So then I was like, I'll walk you to work. So then I walk her to work. I kiss her. I say, have a great day at work. She's like, yeah. Text me later, you know, if you want. And I was like, yeah. So now I'm in a fucking place.
Right.
Now I'm walking the city. I'm saying hello to strangers. You know, like it's a great moment.
Skipping.
Yeah. So then the next day we're
today's
like,
today's going to be a great day.
Yeah.
Oh, then we went and did a tour of the CAA office. That's what we did that day.
Right,
so we go and do a tour of the CAA office.
Yeah.
And then I was basically like, yeah, we want to go to the Knick game. He goes, all right, I'll work on it. So he goes to work on the Knick game or whatever. We leave that. Then we're like, oh, we got to go. Let's go get a nice dinner. We found a place. Dave, once again, just starts asking strangers, hey, where do you think's a good place to get a drink? Ask some girl. What did she say? Belfry?
Belfry,
she goes,
whatever. Yeah.
She goes to Belfry.
Yeah.
And I was like, she's got a lot of confidence in this shit. Yeah. So we went to
she had a
place.
Nice jacket on, a nice scarf. I knew who I was singling out.
It's
like when you're asking somebody to take a picture for you. Like, you got they're auditioning for their recommendation. It's like, you do size up. Like, was that jacket? Like, some buttons were missing?
Right.
Like, did she not take care of herself?
Great looking jacket. She spouted it out right away. There was no hesitancy. I don't know if you guys would like this. She was like, oh, this is a great place.
Nice. So we were like, fine, let's check it out. We couldn't find it for a minute, and then we finally found it, and she was right. It was the shit.
It's
Sinatra was actually playing. In fact, they had Baby Blue Sinatra drink.
Yeah.
So I was like,
Blue Eyes.
I drink Blue
was
Eyes.
That? Yeah, that's what's
so
it.
So I was drinking Blue Eyes.
Yeah.
I go, this is great. And then we're like, let's go get a steak dinner before we go to the play, because the tickets are obviously going to be expensive, and they're free. So that's the way in my head I justify money.
That's right.
I go, if you get something for free, you have to spend what is that money.
Exactly.
Equally.
It's a great way to
so
live
that
your
gets
life.
Rid of the free.
Yeah.
So everything evens out. So we go to the restaurant. Not that good, to be honest with you. Kind of pissed us off.
Hey, chick with a nice coat, if you're listening, your suggestions for drinks suck. Oh, wait, no.
No. The drink
she
place
was great.
I take that back. Will you come
I
on the
actually
podcast?
Was just walking around where the play was.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's just eat around the play.
Times Square.
Maybe we'll run into some theater types, you know?
Because
we're already on the high of meeting strangers and having a great time.
The first place was cool, but they had an event there, remember?
Yeah, they had an event. So we're like, fuck that. So we ate. It was great. Then we go to the play. I'm looking for Scott. I find Scott. We don't know where we're sitting, whatever. He goes, just meet me outside the theater. I meet him. It's sold out as usual.
Yeah.
We're fourth row center, like $400 a ticket, free, sitting there.
I was going to say, that's you can't get a better seat.
No, you don't get a better fucking seat in the house. So we go there. We enjoy the play.
You kind of pulled a Sinatra move with the bartender there. You were like, he was like, the wine was like $12. He gives him a 20. He's like, this is when I come back. He's like, I'll talk you off each time.
Yeah, because you can only get a certain amount because then they cut it off to go back into the theater.
Right,
so he actually, like, when we came in intermission, I got another.
That's a great move, by the way. And I want to just comment on that because I do that all the time. Even when I'm at comedy clubs for a weekend or any bar, like, I tip big immediately.
I'm
just like, yo, because that sets the tone, man.
For sure.
And A, like, they're just going to remember you.
For
you
sure.
come back, like, they topped you off. Like, or if.
Yeah, they made everybody else get out of line
they
because
said,
the
you
show
guys
started.
Go start. We're done with the drinks.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah,
get over here.
Over.
And I was like, awesome.
Yeah, great.
So I get a couple more. Yeah. We watch the rest of the play. Yeah. Great play. Yeah. Well directed. Bradley killed it. Still looks hot. Pissed me off. Able to play Elephant Man with no makeup. Made me even more mad. Point is, that ends. Scott, the director's like, come with us backstage. I start getting nervous because I'm like, why are we going backstage?
Right. Yeah.
But now we're on the stage. So I'm like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
Nobody else is on the stage.
What's that
this
like?
This is the shit. It was cool. I was like, so I want to be on a play. This is like amazing. I get it. I get why actors want to be in plays. This is the shit. And then he's like, wait for a second. He goes backstage, talks to somebody. So now we go at the back entrance where there's like hundreds of people waiting for Bradley Cooper just to leave or whatever. And we go
Which
out there.
Which is what you experienced with you know, that first night. You duck down and you walk
just
out.
Just kind of double that though because that's what it was for him.
Right.
And we come out and the second we walk out because we walk out with the director and some producer or whatever. Yeah. We're just walking out because we're going to go. He made a reservation at somewhere to get a drink and like talk because I haven't seen him in so long. I love this guy. And as you know, he's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Like so fun.
Yeah.
So then we're sitting there waiting and shockingly, some kid, a little odd, is just like, oh my God, Brent Morin. And I was like, holy shit, fuck yeah. I got recognized.
Yeah.
It's like you're sitting embarrassingly, they're waiting for Bradley Cooper.
Right.
So it's almost like a collective, oh, you know, so you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
But then to have somebody do that and take a picture, he goes, what are you doing here? Oh my God.
I saw you
sitting
at the swing club the other
day. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So already, I do love my friends.
The greatest though is I've already had like five or six drinks. So this guy takes a picture and I'm nervous because I don't get asked to take photos a lot. So I take a selfie with this guy like I'm fucking Harry Styles walking into a hotel. Good one, Brent. Either way, so I take a selfie with the guy and he goes, what are you doing here? I was like, oh, I just saw the play. You know, it's a great play though. You know how it is. And he's like, yeah, it was. I didn't see it though. But, you know, I just want to meet him. Yeah, he's probably a cool guy. So now I'm in a fucking conversation.
Right.
I'm like, what am I doing?
Right.
And then I finally get out of it. I'm like, no, you keep it, you know, all right, keep it real, man. And then the director is talking to the producer, not even looking at me, I thought.
Right.
And he just goes to the producer, he goes, give me a second. And looks at me and goes, Brent, stop drinking. Because I'm still holding a fucking red wine out there in line. And I was like, sorry, Scott. Sorry, Scott. I'm like, fucking this whole thing. I said, Scott, I'm not used to fans. I don't know how to figure this shit out. He goes, all right. And so he goes, just shut the fuck up. Let's go. So we walk to the police barricade. And he takes us to this little, like, beautiful little, like, restaurant. Maybe sits like 10, 12 people. So we sit down. We get some drinks, little appetizers. We're talking about the play. We're loving it. They start talking family. It's like they're having this great
kids
dynamic.
And stuff,
Then all of a sudden, Bradley Cooper walks in with some friends and sits at the table next to us.
Yeah.
So he stops Bradley.
What kind of song do you hear when he walks in?
Oh, me, time stops. And my heart's, all I hear is my heart going, oh, friendship. So that's all I want from this man.
Right.
Looks great. You know, he had this look in his face like, well, you know what? I'm going to do an even better performance tomorrow. You know, he had that attitude. Yeah. Not like I'm the shit.
Right.
So he says hi to Scott. Now, that's a director. That's a great in for us because now we don't look like a couple schlubs. We look like two people hanging out with a huge Broadway director.
Right.
So he's like, oh, hi, guys. Nice to meet you. He's like, nice to meet you. Love the play. Great job. Oh, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. So he does his thing. We're doing our thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting laughs. We're having a good time.
Do you say anything? Do you say, hey, man, great show. My heart's beating to the tune of friendship.
Well, here's what happened. So now it's just the two of us because Scott had to leave. He had a family. So I'm sitting there. I told Scott, don't worry about it. I'll get the bill. In my head, I'm like, please don't be $1,000. So I'm sitting there. We're having a drink. I go, oh, what a great fucking night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm also texting with this girl that I know that's a friend, a mutual friend. She's an actress. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go out to all these places. You can come with. So I'm like, I already know where we're going after this.
Yeah.
We ended up going out with Miley Cyrus's dance crew to about 10 different clubs or something
Jesus.
Like that.
Yeah.
So, but
it's
before
a make-a-wish
that,
kind of night.
It was like a crazy. This is like another night. This is another night.
Yeah.
So it's like a Tuesday or Wednesday. Yeah. So we're sitting there and, this is why I like David again. David's like, I'm going to get him to sign the playbill. You know, he's with friends. Yeah, and I go, really? He goes, yeah, let's talk to him. I don't care. Yeah. And I was like, shit, I'm going to go to the bathroom. So I panic. I go to the bathroom. And David, I could hear, you could hear through the walls. Because we see the thing that says captain's tip. And he's looking at it, too. And he's like, you guys know what a captain's tip is? Yeah. And they're like, no, we don't. We're just looking at it, too. So now they're having a little rapport.
Nice,
his
dude.
Table, this table. And I'm hearing the whole report. No, yeah, no, it's crazy.
Yeah, 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 my friend Brent thinks you're hot. Yeah, yeah.
So then I come out, you know, and I was like, hey, yeah, captain's tip. Or some shit. Just stupid bullshit. Idiot Brent.
Clooney boop.
So, yeah, boop. Clooney fucking boops and pit slips left and right. Bradley Cooper oopers.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
Like the whole goddamn thing. So I'm sitting there, and then he's like, do you mind signing this? And he's like, no, of course not. And then they're like, how do you know Scott?
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, actually, Brent is on a TV show. And in my head, I go, thank God he said that. And I go, he's an actor. Scott directed the first three episodes. She's like, oh, what's the show? I was like, Undateable. He goes, yeah, he's also a comedian. Uh-huh. And this girl he's with, who's like an old theater woman, probably, was like, oh, and you're a comedian.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, yeah, Bradley, he actually has a bit about you. Yeah. All the shit I would have wanted said, you know, without me saying it.
So much better when somebody else does.
Yeah, so now they start standing because they're going to leave. And he goes, oh, yeah, what bit? And I was like, you know, just, I was like, you know, I used to work a comedy. Basically, long story short, I you said, have a good night. And I said, night, night. And he goes, oh, I've seen that.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you don't have to. He goes, no, you were sitting on the couch on Conan. And you did it on the couch. And I was like, this is fucking great night. And then he was like, do you mind if we get a picture? Yeah. And he's like, no, of course not. Because now he's legitimized, where he's like, oh, you're a comic. You guys are
that's
working.
That's huge, by
you
the
know
way.
Scott.
Because he hadn't seen seeing you and going, oh, yeah, you're a guy that
you are.
You're also in the crew.
Yeah.
The croup. Of working people.
So,
now
we're working people. So we're taking a working photo. This is not like a fan photo. Hey, we're at dinner.
Right.
And I forgot this. When Scott was there, Bradley looks over at us and he goes, hey, by the way, what did you guys think about the image at the end of the play? Yeah. I remember this too. And crazy. He looks at me. I was like, I loved it. Great. And he goes, Scott, yeah, you liked it. And he's like, great. Love. And I'm just like, obviously,
we can
they
all
could
love
be
friends,
like,
Bradley.
This motherfucker is kissing ass. Because that's basically what I was doing. I loved the image. I did, but I didn't know how to talk at the time. And then he goes, David, I never felt more like that was the fucking perfect thing to say. David goes, you know what I really liked? No, because then Scott leaves and he goes, did you really like the image at the end?
So Bradley says to Dave.
Yeah. And he's saying it to like Con, both of us. Okay. He goes, what you thought that was? Because they've been working
now
on it. That was the
gone.
First time they did it, you know?
Yeah.
And Scott's such an open director. He was like, okay, we'll keep it.
Right.
So he's like, could you really liked it, right? Because that's what we were thinking. I kind of thought there was something there. Mm-hmm. And David's like, you know what? I loved it. You know what I loved the most about it? He goes, what? I go, love that it was there and it faded out. And Bradley goes, yes. Yes. That's what. And I'm like, God damn it, David. Perfect.
Yeah.
He goes, that's what you needed.
Yeah.
You needed it to fade out.
Yeah,
and he goes, it had to fade. It couldn't just, the fade.
Uh-huh.
Remember I told you the fade?
And then
that's
you come
obviously
in,
what they were talking
and you
about.
You come in, you go, well, I thought it faded perfectly.
No, if you couldn't hear me because I wasn't talking loud enough, but I kept going, fade. Yeah, right. I kept doing that stupid shit. But we take the picture, we leave that, we're on a high.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl goes to me, she basically writes me, listen, here's the deal. I'm at a club. If you want to come, you can drink for free. Then we figure it out. There's bottles. We go there. There's a bunch of New York socialites. We're in a library of a bar. Didn't even know that's possible.
Yeah.
They have about 8 bottles. Half of them are black. They're all dancers.
Mm-hmm.
Me and David are a nightclub. We're fucking dancing.
Of course.
So we decide to go to town. We're dancing. These guys are dancing.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. Doesn't stop us.
Not at all.
We keep boozing.
Uh-huh.
Then they're like, on to the next place. We're like, all right. We'll fall on you. They're like, it's his birthday. We're like, cool. He goes, you two are cool. Come with us.
Yeah.
So we jump in 2 Uber SUVs to the next club.
Yeah.
Club's packed. We walk straight in.
Right.
Table.
Jesus,
sparklers.
Man.
Dancing again.
Right next to the DJ booth.
Right next to
the
DJ booth. They're shouting them out, happy birthday. And I was like, who the fuck are these people?
Right.
I say to the girl I know. And she's like, they're all like Miley Cyrus's friends.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah. You know, so now.
Good group
out,
to hang
yeah,
with.
Yeah. Now we're out to fucking 6 of the goddamn morning.
Well, then Roscoe puts on an impromptu concert.
Oh, that's
rapper
right. The rapper puts on a concert
and we're like,
wait, song.
Who is this?
Yeah, so then I was like, I know this song.
Yeah.
I go, why is this guy singing this song? I'm like, that's the guy.
Yeah.
And I was shit. And he's like right over us.
Yeah.
So now we're drinking and getting champagne and everybody's, I think I'm even better dancer. You're meeting girls, having a goddamn blast.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody looks cool as shit.
Oh, yeah.
It was just fantastic.
So fun.
So then we go home, we go to bed. Mm-hmm. The next day, we're like, I think this is the Madison Square Garden night, right?
This is one of the last nights, right?
Yeah, this is the last night because I didn't get to see my girl. because I wanted every night to end with the girl. So the Masked Garden night, he goes, okay, you're all set for the Masked Garden if you want to go. So we decide we're not going to eat because he goes, you can go to the owner's suite. And
first of all, let me cut you off there. Brent actually said, yeah, you know, it would be cool to go to the game. And his agent was like, yeah, Brent, I it's looking like I can get you a ticket. Yeah. And right away, without hesitation, Brent goes, oh, well, I'm not going to go unless David goes.
Yeah. At this point, they don't understand what you've been through together. Yeah, yeah,
well, there's also, no like, he didn't want to leave his buddy.
I know. But also, it's like, hey, man, I need my good luck.
What I didn't process, because I've been sometimes agents will give you tickets to something, and it's usually like in a box that they own, you know, and it is it's nice they do it, but you know, so I was like, I'm not going unless he can go.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what he got us.
Yeah.
Okay, and he goes, all right, let me see what I can work out. So I'm thinking, it's fucking Knicks. They're not doing well. They're playing Orlando.
Right.
I was like, and he goes, okay, you're both all set. If you want, you can go at 6:30. Go to the owner's suite, eat. They got free food and free booze. So I said, great, that's dinner tonight. That's what we'll do.
Right.
I didn't expect this. We get there. He goes, you got to go through a side entrance. Go through a side entrance. There's this lady. I go up. I go, Brent Morin. And she goes, oh, which one of you is undateable? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, they know my show. Yeah. So there must be a list where they go, like,
it would be great if
entertainers.
She didn't, she was just straight up asking an honest question.
Yeah. There's got to be, like, celebrity entertainer list of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
So so we go up to the
Dave has flipped to the part of the scrapbook.
Oh, yeah, sure.
With the memory.
Yes. Which I love it.
This is great. It's like when the librarian's reading you the story. She turns the book to the class and goes, and this is the shit that I just talked about.
Yeah. And this is like the last night. We're like, oh, this is our last night. This is a good way to end it. We'll go to a game. We'll relax.
We'll chill. A nice relaxing basketball game.
Oh, yeah. We walk in there. The owner suite's the shit. There's this guy from The Sopranos in front of us. Now it looks like we're walking in with his crew. He knows everybody there. So obviously he's season ticket holder.
Right.
I don't know how much he spent on this shit.
Yeah. But we share the elevator with him.
Yeah. So there's so many people that are wearing like nice little like suits. Like, good afternoon. How are you?
Right.
You know, we're like, shit, this is actually nice. I thought maybe it'd just be like chicken tenders and like that's it. We get in there. That steakhouse we went to the night before, fuck that place.
Yeah.
I won't name it just because of issues.
Yeah.
But I will say the shit that we had here.
Also a sponsor,
this was the best food.
It was so good.
Unfucking believable. So we're eating food. We get a table because there's a lot of little reserve tables. He goes, enjoy your food. Get a drink. And they're like, no tips required, by the way, sir. So I'm thinking, fuck I needed you at Comedy Central where I spent all my money. So I'm like, yes, you know what? I'll have a Pinot Noir. He goes, you know what? I got a great one for you. This one just came in. So what is your name?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Brent. He goes, Brent, I got you the whole night. And I go, holy shit. So I grab my Pinot. We're eating. The agent shows up. He introduced me to this guy. I don't know the guy. He goes, this is Brent Morin. He's undateable. Oh, you're the undateable one. Nice to meet you, man. Yeah. Well, welcome. Okay, your tickets should be here soon. You know, just enjoy the meal, okay? Mm-hmm. We'll have them. Then we'll, you know, bring you your seat. You got a lot of time. I was like, great. So let's eat. We'll enjoy it. Tickets will be there. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting there. I say to the guy, I go, who is that guy? He goes, oh, he's the head of operations for Madison Square Garden. I go, holy fuck. That guy's important. He's going to say hi to everybody.
You're like in the private lounge.
Oh, yeah. It's all people in three-piece suits.
So who else are you seeing?
Well, mainly suits.
Suits. And then this happens because we were the first ones there. And we're eating there. And I'm eating every stupid bullshit thing I shouldn't have eaten before whoever came walked in. First person who walks in, David goes, is that fucking Taylor Swift?
Mm-hmm.
And I look, and it's Taylor Swift and like her best friend.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, Brittany.
Yeah. Yes, what is that like? Walk me through what Taylor Swift in the flesh looks like.
Well, first thing that happened is David's like, oh, we're gonna have to talk to them.
Yeah.
And I like, of course.
Come on.
So I'm like, Jesus Christ. I go, well, I'm gonna get seconds. You know, like I'm like, fuck this. So I'm gonna eat. So I see them, and then Justin Long and Amanda Seyfried walk in. I go, it's fucking Justin Long and Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah.
Okay, this is famous people here.
Uh-huh.
And then Justin Verlander, who's a Cy Young Award pitcher, one of
Detroit
the greatest
Tigers.
Pitchers alive.
Yep.
Crazy.
With Kate Upton walks in. So I go, okay.
Also one of the greatest pitchers alive.
I think we're in the fucking place where you go when you're like famous.
Yeah.
That's where I basically, and I was like, shit. So I go back to my guy. I was like, hey, he's like, hey, Brent. I go, we're going to need a little bit more wine. So he's like, perfect. He goes, and don't worry. We got to-go cups when you go down. Okay, your chaperone when he takes you down.
To-go cups?
Yeah.
They look the exact same as the wine glasses, except they're plastic.
To take your wine to go watch Mellow.
Yeah, to go watch the game. So basically you're all hanging out at this point. Everybody, and then they give us the tickets. They go, we're ready whenever you are, sir. Here are your tickets. So they give us the tickets. I open the tickets. They're fucking huge. You know when you get like a big ticket?
Yeah.
$900 face value. So I'm sitting there like,
what?
I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
where
ridiculous.
The fuck are we sitting? Because I thought we still thought we were like in a booth. Yeah, we're in a lounge booth.
There's like a sweatband and a jersey. Like, Brent, dude, the fourth quarter, J.R. Smith.
He
never pulls
like,
up.
Third row of suite or something. I'm thinking, oh, we're up in the, the Raptors.
Yeah. We've seen footage of your Comedy League games on the Rick Glassman.
Yeah,
we were hoping hoping you guys would.
So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, this is all right. Okay, it looks like fuck it. Hey, cheers. Let's enjoy this. And he's like, I'm taking a picture, making a scrapbook, and it's in front of me, and I love seeing this. So then they go, okay, your chaperone will be here to take you to your seats. And I was like, chaperone? We get a fucking chaperone? So chaperone takes us down the elevator. Yeah. Everybody's so damn nice to like enjoy the game. Next thing I know, we're in the tunnel, like where the players would walk through. In front of us is Howard Stern and his wife.
Oh, okay, man.
So now we're walking to the seats holding our fucking wine, because that's been the drink of the romantic trip.
Right.
So we're drinking our wine, and I start to get nervous because they're walking us closer and closer and closer to the floor. So now we're two rows, like they sit Howard down, one seat behind him, then us. So I'm like, holy fuck me, I've never been this close. At Madison Square Garden, I could see everybody. The game had started. People are already looking at us because we had a chaperone.
Right.
You know, so now we're sitting down. We're enjoying the shit out
of
it.
Yeah, you're in that boat now where you're in the seats where people are going, who's that?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And then the people that everybody's like, I know who that is, are two in front of us.
Right.
So it's Stern and his wife, and then Justin Long and Amanda Seyfried sit down, then Kate Upton and them.
It goes like this.
Swift.
It goes, it goes, people I know, and then second goes, people I don't know, but I should probably know. And then behind him, it's like, people I don't know.
People I know. Second row, security of the people we know.
Yeah. Right.
And then third
people
row,
I'm gonna know
is
soon.
More security because we were sitting next to a security guard. Taylor's got a shit ton of security, so don't fuck with her.
No.
We found that out. Yeah. Like, just civilian dressed people are surrounding her at all times. So we're sitting there and we're just enjoying this. We're like, this is the trip. Like, we're taking pictures. I'm like, this is the shit. Then they keep having these press guys come over with a camera asking, like, Howard, do you mind for the up there? And he's like, fine. So then a big jumbotron will show a Chip America's Got Talent. And then they show Howard Stern. Yeah. Then a little bit later, because this is the first half, they show Amanda Seyfried and Justin Long.
Yeah, how many of these throughout the game? Because it's Staples Center
just
for Lakers
one,
games.
Yeah, they'll do it like at once. But they do a clip of, like, so for Justin, they did a clip of a movie. And for her, they did a clip of Mean Girls. Yeah. Even though she's done way more shit.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know where they found that clip.
How about Mamma Mia?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, you know, Mamma Mia.
Right. Only time I've gotten that defensive about Mamma Mia clips.
What the fuck?
Show a Mamma Mia clip.
Yeah.
You can't show a Mamma Mia clip?
Where's Mamma Mia? Somebody yelled that at me.
Yeah.
But then everybody cheers because they know who they are. Yeah. They woo and they get a laugh.
Yeah.
And then they go to like Taylor Swift and they play her song and stuff. But she's cool. She's like having a good
time. Are people
time.
Into it when they play her song?
Yeah.
Oh,
people are into all them because they're like celebrities people liked.
Yeah.
They're like, and Howard's like New York. Mm-hmm. So it's like, and I start panicking. I say to David, I go, fuck me, man. I hope they don't try to put me on that thing. I was like, they can't.
Really? You didn't want that?
Of course not. I was like, you just showed the most famous people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like Taylor Swift just on Time Magazine.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's Howard Stern.
You're starting to get famous.
Yeah, I was on a summer sitcom that came back, kind of. You know what I mean? Like there's a difference where I'm like, shit, dude. So then an agent texts me. He goes, got a surprise for you at halftime. I'm thinking either he just told Taylor Swift and I are going to have like a date, or something's happened with the Jumbotron.
Right.
So I'm like, David.
Or my song of the Swing Club has already gotten fucking number two on iTunes.
So I'm like, David. So we go at halftime, you go back up to the owner's suite to continue to free drink and eat, and you can keep going to town, right? Mm-hmm. So I do it again. Like, Brent, here's the rest of your wine. You actually finished that bottle. We don't have that bottle anymore. We gotta get you a new bottle.
Uh-huh.
So that's fine, Paul. Thank you. You know, I know my guys.
Right.
So I get another bottle. I go, they better not put me in the thing. He comes up, he goes, I think they're gonna put you in the Jumbotron the second half. I'm like, you mean in a sold out Madison Square Garden after just fucking Taylor Swift and Howard Stern?
Right.
I go, no. And they're like, yeah, it's gonna happen, man. It's gonna happen.
You said no?
And I was like, oh shit, dude.
Yeah, come on.
So and part of me is also like, what the fuck? I was like, because it's weird. So I said to David, we sit down. I go, listen, if they do it, and you can do me a favor, okay? All right, it's going to be me in the screen. I want you to slowly inch in the frame like you're taking a selfie and kind of knock me out of the fucking thing.
Great idea.
We'll get in a little thing like, this is my moment.
Diffuse the moment.
Can you please stop, like, do a little back and
funny.
Forth?
Yes.
And just keep it going. He goes, okay. So the guy who goes to all the people is walking around. He looks behind me to a dude behind me. He goes, do you want to be on the thing? And the guy's just a nobody. Like, what? And I was like, oh, fuck. That's
now
he's
I have
trying
to
find me. He's trying to find me. This motherfucker who's supposed to, his job is to know who the people are, didn't even know it was me. So they leave for a second. I go, oh, he dodged that bully. He comes back like two plays later and looks at me. He goes, with a smile, very nice. He goes, "Sorry, you." And I was like, "Yeah, you. You don't even know me.
Right.
Who the fuck in this building is gonna know me?" But I go, "Okay." So then they for and Taylor, everybody's there. Mm-hmm. They're kind of looking behind, like, "Who the fuck is up there?" Because nobody knows.
Of
They're
course.
Like, "Who the fuck is this kid?"
Which is more of a reason to do what you're gonna do with Dave and the Stuff. Because that way, people who don't know you go, "Oh, that was funny. Who's that guy?"
Yeah. So we're basically, I'm like, "Shit." Then they show a clip for the show. I'm like, on the Madison Square Garden, like me as Justin, some little fucking clip. I'm wearing a pink shirt, and I'm just like, "God damn it!" But awesome. Uh-huh. And then I was like, "Shit, it's gonna happen."
Everybody's looking up, looking at the show.
Then I go, "Shit." Well, at least they'll know I'm on something, you know, as opposed to just cut to.
Yep.
And then they cut to me where it says I'm dateable and stuff, and I kind of like do the courtesy wave or whatever, and people are kind of like,
"I guess."
Yeah, like, who the fuck is that?
Is this guy? Like, I think I saw him on a bike two nights ago. Is that?
So then David just starts inching in, and just like an actor, commits to this shit. So I'm kind of like, David, can you not? And so I'm like, trying to look at the monitor. Yeah. And David, and then like I drop my phone, and I'm like, "David, could you please just, this is my time for 2 minutes, because you can't hear us, but all you see
me arguing. Hilarious.
Thank you, appreciate
hilarious.
It. Love the Knicks doing it. Like, stop it, David. And I kind of realized, I started thinking, they kind of did, we're on a lot longer than they were.
Yeah.
I was like, why the fuck are we still on?
Yeah.
Because we haven't stopped yet.
Right.
And I'm kind of looking up and I go, "Shit, we're still on the fucking monitor."
Right.
And we start getting a laugh, like a laugh. Yeah, we got a fucking laugh in the garden.
You got a laugh in the garden.
It was great.
I forgot to mention, at halftime, I went up to Justin Verlander. Athletes get me more. We've talked about this on the show.
Yep.
Get me more than anything. Yeah. And I used to be a pitcher, so I went up to Verlander and I said, "Hey, man, I'm a huge fan of yours. I used to be a pitcher, but I was fucking bad." And he goes, "You know how refreshing that is to hear? Because so many high school, like, kids come up to me, not kids, but like grown men will come up to him and be like, 'You know what? I could have made it if my shoulder didn't go out.'" And he's like, "All right, man, you're just, you know, you've been drinking." Like, that's basically what he was saying.
Yeah, easy.
So he liked me right away. And I was like, "Dude, my show takes place in Detroit. If I ever do a show, you should come there." He goes, "Yeah, well, you know, tweet me and follow you, and then we'll do the whole thing." And I'm thinking that won't happen.
Yeah.
But it did,
such
by
a
the
nice
way.
Guy.
So now we're messaging on Twitter about a show.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Great.
And then
guy.
He introduced me to Kate Upton and him. Mm-hmm. So he's actually, you went up to Kate Upton.
Yeah, I had to talk to
Kate. He
doesn't
give a shit.
Gorgeous.
I have to go talk to Kate.
He's
going to
talk to Kate. You know, it's halftime. He goes, "You know what? I'm talking to fucking Kate." So he goes to talk to Kate. I'm talking to Verlander.
Oh, man. It was weird. It was a different type of spice.
Yeah.
But it was she's a big girl. Like she's big.
I like that.
Big bones.
Yeah.
Easy to hang on
good.
To.
Ooh,
yeah.
Wonderful.
It's great. Nice. So he's having that moment. So cut back to us doing the bit, right? Kate, everybody's looking at us, you know, and then the bit ends. And the first thing I do as a comic, we both do, the guys behind us, I go, "Was that funny? Was it funny?" And they're like, "Yeah, dude, that was funny." I go, "Cool." And then Verlander sits there and he turns around because now we have a rapport. I feel like we're best friends at this point.
Right.
And he goes, "I would have taken the picture for you." You know, maybe he got the bit, maybe he didn't get the bit, you know. But I said, "Hey, Justin, next time stick your head up, get the game, you know." So now I'm yelling at Justin, like, "Get the game, come on, get in the game."
Yeah.
And Long's laughing, and I'm like, "Okay, Taylor's looking, look longer, Taylor, please be with me forever."
"Look longer, Taylor."
You know, it's like, I was like, "Justin, get it together."
Yeah,
and he's like, "I would have done it, you know, what are you doing?"
Yeah.
All right, so we go to the game. The game turns out to be an amazing game.
Game.
We realize, because you're kind of not looking at the game, because you're enjoying everything else.
Yeah.
All of a sudden I realize, holy shit, it's down to a last play.
Yeah.
So it's down to the last fucking play.
Down 2 points.
So they're down 2 points. Knicks balls. Yeah. We're Knicks fans now.
Right.
Everybody's standing right in front of us. They just hit a three to get it to this point.
Yeah.
It's their ball. So we're standing. Justin Long, for some reason, turns around and looks at me and he goes, "What would you do? What do you think?"
Right.
I'm thinking, we're friends.
Right.
So I was like, I said, "I'd go for the win." He goes, "Really?" He goes, "I think I'd go for the tie. I think play it safe." "Really?" I go, "Justin Verlander, what do you think?" He goes, "I'd go for the win." I go, "That's an athlete. That's why he's an MVP."
Right.
I go, and I'm drunk at this point. So I'm like, "That's why he's a star. That's a fucking star. We go for the win." So they go for the win. They miss. It was a terrible play. They should have actually gone for the tie.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, "All right, Long, you won this, but he's won more shit."
Right.
So now they say you can go to the owner's suite for an extra half hour.
Again,
I'm thinking that's the end of us meeting or hanging out with any of those people.
Me and Brent are going to be the only ones up there, like, drinking.
Getting
because
free
they just,
drinks, you know?
Telling like the cleaning staff about who you were just
playing. We're
they're
thinking
like,
it's
you weren't
us.
On that jumbo throne.
The suite, the suits guys are there every day. They're not coming back.
Right.
The stars got places to go with more free booze.
Right.
They're not paying for shit.
Yeah.
I got to go back up. I got to talk to Paul. I got to get a new red wine.
Right.
You know. So I go up there. When we get up there, it's just me and David. Yeah. Taylor Swift and her friend, yeah. Amanda Seyfried, yeah. and fucking Justin Long. So yeah. it's just the six of us in this fucking room by a bar that you see at like a hotel function.
Yeah.
So we're just at this small ass bar, and I was like, oh, it's just the six of us. And we're only allowed to stay a half hour. We end up staying for almost an hour.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's just talking. And yeah. it's just like you're so in a group great. Now. You're in a circle. So we're all just, I'm with Justin. He's from Connecticut. We're having a conversation. Yeah. He's with Taylor Swift and them. God. He's just having conversations. We form a circle.
Give me a quick soundbite of a Taylor Swift, David Sullivan conversation.
It was weird. It was just a normal conversation. I kind of made fun of her sweater. It was a red sweater.
Yeah, and treat her like a normal person is what you did.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, you're wearing your Christmas sweater early.
Yeah.
And she was like, ha ha. And we laughed and we started. And then I started including her friend and I was spending a little more time kind of talking to her friend and then talking to her. She was really cool.
Yeah.
I think if she doesn't feel threatened or anything,
and you're alone and she's drinking wine, she's having a good time. She's got the white wine. She's having fun.
Yeah, you know, great.
Takes pictures. She doesn't give a shit. So we're all kind of hanging out and laughing. Start talking to Amanda and Justin, you know, because of the whole Bill Lawrence connection.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then they know Tom Cavanaugh, who played my dad in the show. And they're like, Amanda's like, I was going to say you look like Tom. And so she's like, you got to say hi when you see him. And I was like, I don't know. I think you would see him first.
Right.
I think he'd want to see you first, probably.
Right.
Because I love him, but, you know, they're famous. So we're just having a great everybody's just having a chat. And then, like, these photos get taken.
Yeah.
It's like, let's take a photo.
That was the next photo I saw, by the way. Because everything you just explained.
Yeah.
I don't know that's going on.
Here's what I see.
I see Jumbotron.
Yeah.
2 hours later, I see cast photo of the real world 48.
Yeah, and everybody's doing different faces. That's when you know it's not a fan photo. Yeah, when everybody's got like a goofy face.
I had to do a double take. I was like, did you guys find Amanda Siegfried, Kate Upton, Taylor Swift, Justin Long cutouts?
Right.
I'm not fucking around. Everybody back home thought that that was wax figures.
That's so funny.
And I was like, why would we do that?
By the way, that's a testament to you guys with the small talk, because I feel like sometimes I feel like I'm locked in with that, but like with Justin Long, I would be like, oh, you were in the movie Going the Distance. I did Long Distance at one point. I have a Mac. You did those commercials. You like that computer still? You guys just fucking worked your way in.
And we were like, dude, you got to come to a show. What are you doing? And he's like, yeah, I would love to. I go, all right. I go, well, give me your phone. I'll take my number. And he just hands me his phone and goes, to another conversation. I made the mistake of not getting his number. I do that often.
Whatever.
And I'll never hear from him, but it doesn't matter. So we have a night, we leave that fucking place. A buddy of ours, Shiloh, who is an actor as well, is in town doing something and goes, come by this place. So after that we decide to go back down. We're like, yes, let's go have a night. So we go over there and it just turns, and I call the girl that I'm like, I'm texting her the whole time because I'm in love. So I'm like, you have to meet me at my friend's place. So it's us with actors, working actors, another group with a guitar, they're smoking cigarettes. There's a little weed.
We entered through a flower shop.
Yeah, through a flower shop
to get to
their
place.
Guy. Yeah. Hot guys stay in weird places. So it's like a hot Johnny Depp type dude.
Of course.
And we're all hanging out, and then we start playing music.
Uh-huh.
And then my girl is like, do you mind if this girl comes? I like her. And they're like, yeah, sure. So she comes. Now it's like this intimate moment. Yeah. This is like the perfect ending after the Madison Square thing.
Sure.
We start singing about David and his son and being a good father. David starts crying. We're having his beautiful shit moments.
Yeah.
Then I was like, oh, this is so great. It's the end of the night. We finished the wine. I say, let's get out of here. My girl had to work. So I says, okay, you know what? David's like, I got another audition, because David kept getting auditions when he was there, too.
Yeah,
I'm getting close to getting this shit, too. So he goes, I got another audition. I got to go practice. Yeah. I go, okay, you know what? I'm going to walk her home again, right? So I go back. I stay at her place again. I go, I'm staying at your place again. It's our last night. So once again, you know, the city lights are coming in. Mm. We're kissing. We get very close to a nice, intimate, make love moment in my mind. Yeah. Doesn't happen again. She goes, no, I can't. You know, I think I
What's the reason going to be this time?
Well, she likes me, and she just doesn't. It's like, you know, then I'm gone the next day, and I gave this speech about I completely respect that, and I understand. It was just beautiful.
Yeah.
It was just a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Then the next day, I walked her to work. Yeah, I walked her to work. That was it. And I said, I don't know when I'll see you again. I mean, this is a beautiful moment. I went back to David. We took a nap because we had to hit the airport.
Yeah.
Packed our bags, my friend, and came back.
And hey, everybody give it up.
That was our New York City trip.
It was great. It was great.
Holy
I went to a diner at like 10 a.m. with my bags for the airport. Then I walked to my next audition. And right after my audition, I went to the airport and flew back.
Yeah, and I flew back to L.A.
Holy
it was great.
Shit.
No, I flew to Niagara Falls, actually. Never mind.
You did. That's right.
Yeah. And then I had a whole thing there.
If you just started right now and another like hour and a half long, and then Niagara Falls. Holy shit! I mean, that was
a reality check. That was like Jesus Christ, how weird looking people. We were in the worst part of Niagara Falls. But yeah, I was just in this romantic mood. I was like, what a fantastic time.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be tough to top that trip for a while.
I recommend bicycles in New York City. Yeah, you have to do the bicycles. Yeah. Don't be scared. It's funny shit.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the sex club that we went to.
We will. You guys have to come
back. That's right.
Next time, guys.
Are you kidding me? Brent's this is the fourth time on the podcast.
That's right.
Brent, you have just surpassed Harlan Williams and Jaleel White as the most frequented guests on the About Last Night podcast.
Congratulations.
It's about milestones. It's about milestones.
So do you guys want to look at my scrapbook now?
real quickly before David Sullivan, First Prime Podcast, you crushed it.
Thank you, buddy.
Great. You're going to be back. Where can people find you on Twitter?
David Sullivan, at David Sullivan. Same on Instagram, Twitter.
At Brent Morin on Twitter.
You see
Instagram.
A lot of these pictures on
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we should post these videos too.
We will. We'll post the videos. We'll post the pictures.
The video introduced at the game.
Yes.
When we walked
You got it. We'll post all that. Go to David's Instagram to see pretty much everything we talked about in video form of the scrapbook.
That's fine.
Real quick, because New Year's is approaching, and this will be up before New Year's.
All right.
From that trip, because I feel like we all came back with like an energy, because New York has an energy, but also does.
I might actually be going back for New Year's.
The shit that happened because...
Because I'll be in Connecticut. I'm thinking about staying.
Yeah, I'm thinking about going back for New Year's. You're going to be there? Oh, I'm thinking about going back too. Yeah, maybe we...
Want to do it?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
If you guys find another air drummer at that strip club for the band, I'm going to be super fucking pissed.
Where are you going to be on New Year's?
Vegas, doing the Factory.
That'll be fun.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are going to fucking
go back to New York.
You're going to go to fucking another Knicks game and meet Ted Danson and Danny Glover and fucking Shia LaBeouf and fucking Raven Simone and fucking another cast. Fucking another amazing cast photo. Fuck you guys. So, all right. Give me, though, with all that coming back, all that newfound fucking vigor and energy, like New Year's resolutions. Is there anything like you want to take, or just is there anything from that trip that you're like, man, I want to fucking do more of
there's something, and this is, I'm not kidding, we're going to do a European trip. We talked about this. I said, David, you and I got to go on trips all the time. And the one thing I took from David is,
and let me come.
Of course. You're on board too. You have the same attitude.
Yes.
Do it.
Yeah, I won't be on antibiotics.
Don't be scared. Fuck it. Yeah. Dance with somebody. We didn't even say the part where we were walking down the street before we went to another club, and there's just random people on a stoop in Brooklyn or something
playing guitar
and singing,
and
we stop and sang with them for 25 fucking minutes.
Yeah. Awesome.
It was like, just do it. Do all that
stuff.
Who gives a shit?
So many times in life, you get caught up in things that you think you should do, and then life passes you by because you're thinking about the things you should be doing. Life is right in front of you. Just reach out and grab it.
Somebody would say, you have to go to this place. You have to try this crab cake.
Okay.
It's like, yes, let's do that.
Go do it.
Go to this secret dance club.
Sure.
You know,
we'll try that.
Get it. Why not?
Because every experience leads to another experience,
absolutely,
which this fucking podcast could not be a better example of. Great way to close it, but let me just say one thing that has not been acknowledged the second time. And hashtag us fucking Clooney Bloops.
And Croup.
Boop.
No, and Croup.
Boop.
Clooney Boops. I'm sorry. Clooney Boops and Croup.
Croup.
The fucking best
cool
thing.
Group. That's what that means.
Cool group. Thank you.
And if you post a shitty looking group and you call it hashtag my Croup, oof.
No. Oh, God.
That's going to really
that's
a Clooney Boop.
I'll tell you what that is. And this... You couldn't see it because it's a fucking podcast, but when Brent Morin said Bradley Cooper Oopers, I left my seat and threw my headphones off my head.
That's right.
So hashtag Clooney Boops and hashtag
Bradley Cooper Oopers.
Bradley Cooper Oopers. Oh, happy New
Year. Fuck yeah.
So that's the show. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also,
Get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamy Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.